Brother,
don't start. Are you gonna start with this shit already?
What? What did I do?
You stealing my fucking gimmick? The two of you?
Oh, fuck off!
You know what? I gotta give Kevin credit though. Kevin, he does a really good like just speaking Taz. If Taz was just doing commentary, but then you over here, fucking widow's peak, fucking you jumping in, fucking Kate trying to think they can take my gimmick. Call in. Like, I'm not fucking doing something.
Our gimmicks get stolen an awful lot on Wednesdays. We had to pay you.
What gimmick? What's your gimmick?
I don't know. Didn't you fucking steal my commercial gimmick? You were trying to steal my Kate commercial gimmick. I know you were.
Yeah, she gave us more money. So I decided to try and, like, steal my gimmick. It's not stealing a gimmick. It's trying to get us some more shekels.
It was stealing the gimmick when you started calling her corporate Kate. That was straight up gimmick infringement.
I mean, look, if you're in with a corporation, you're in. There can be more. There's corporate Kane. There's corporate boss man. There's corporate.
No one called him. They didn't call him corporate Kane until much later. They didn't call him corporate boss man.
If I didn't see the NHL logo, Kevin, I would have swore to God you were in like a Kane hockey jersey.
I had a Rock football jersey back in the day.
I gotta, you know what? Next week I'll wear my Hulkamaniacs jersey. Either that or my Hitman jersey. I think it's in the attic.
You have a Calgary Hitman jersey?
No, I have a New York, New Jersey Hitman.
Busting out them old XFL gimmicks.
I was going to say, I will buy that from you right now.
We got number one contenders tonight for Can You Beat That?
What do you mean?
No run-ins? No run-ins tonight?
Why? One of you fuckers want to challenge Kate?
No.
Would fucking mop the floor with Kate. I'm all just going to put that out there right now.
Terrible. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Uh-oh. We pissed Kevin off.
He's going.
Are we doing this? It's 6:58.
It's going. I'm recording. This has been recording for like 2 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I didn't want to miss an opportunity for great conversation.
Well, we're on the hot mic, so we're live, pal.
We're on the hot mic. We're on the rant. I'm recording over here. Let me open up my hot mic.
I had the rinse off the top of my beer. I don't trust these liquor store people.
Yes, they ejaculate all over your fucking 30-pack of Natty Ice.
That's right.
Where else are you supposed to ejaculate?
To the Coronas.
Kevin, did you take a nap before the show?
I did.
Excellent.
Kevin it wasn't a good nap.
Kevin was on fire Thursday night.
I slept right through the Case show.
I'm sure you didn't miss anything.
I missed my chance.
You got four more this week.
Show or what? Come on.
Yeah. What's the fire? Where's the fire?
I want to get the intro going. Let's go.
The intro's going. We're fucking 3 minutes and change in, bitch.
That's right, bitch.
Really? Yeah, I'm fucking fired. I'm fired up. I'm full of piss and vinegar tonight. We got a lot to talk about. We're talking about AEW. We're talking about some WWE, maybe. We're talking about some New Japan Pro Wrestling. We're going to talk about fucking Kamala, fucking Marty Jannetty, the fucking murderer. Come on.
My guy. Uncle Marty.
You're fucking this back and forth bullshit. I'm wasting my fucking time talking to your jerk off friend with a tinfoil hat on fucking Twitter. You guys are fucking butt buddies now.
Really, butt buddies?
Oh, I'm fired up. I'm going to fucking kick someone in the dick hole.
Butt buddies.
You can't say butt buddies?
I don't know.
Like if two people have nice butts, they're butt buddies, right?
That's right. That's exactly what the definition is.
Two random people have nice butts. They're butt buddies.
No,
butt
not twins. If they're random. You can't do randos.
Butt twins.
Do butt twins have powers?
Oh, yeah. Big time powers.
Like butt twin powers activate. Form of giant feces.
Farts that could blow up Lebanon.
Why would you want giant
Lebanon destroying farts?
Why would you want giant feces?
Why? Why not? Who doesn't love a giant feces?
Eh, I could do without him sometimes.
Pieces.
Can I? Kevin did get a nap. I like it.
I was in a bad mood, but now I'm good. I'm good, baby. I got to loosen
up.
Can
you what?
Loosen it up, baby.
No, Tony said he could do something, and then you made it funny.
No, I learned something new today. So my kid is...
God. Let's start the show. Play the music.
All right. Music time. We'll come back with that story. Should I say back after this?
No, it's not back after this. It's all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 493.
Nailed it.
Why is this not working?
I don't know.
Of course.
What the fuck, man?
Why is this frozen? What the fuck is going on? Pause all?
Let it go. Yes. Let it go.
Like the movie? With the Jesus? Snowman?
My fucking... My cell is not working. Yo, I'm clicking the button. Nothing's coming through. Nothing's moving.
Did you turn it off and loop back?
No, it's just not moving. It's on and loop back. It's just not moving. This is weird.
Tony broke the stuff. Tony broke the stuff.
Tony, we're on our own time clock, so you take your time, brother.
You encountering? I don't understand what this is. Huh. Let me try this again.
Hey, Paul,
next. Are you serious?
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, this is Sean Mooney. You may remember me from the Event Center, but now I like to spend my time with the Shining Wizards.
It's a little loud, but my goodness.
Oh, was it really?
Just a tad.
I'm sorry.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 493 of the Shining Wizards, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I'm Tony, and my computer doesn't work.
I'm Matt, and my computer works.
I'm Kevin, and I'm still in a basement.
Yeah, and
now it's working.
Of course, now it's working.
Now it's working.
I was just thinking the other day about that drop.
Wolf, you get it?
Yeah.
It's a great one.
Yeah. And
Tony, you didn't hear last week's open with the purification song?
No, because I jumped in the middle of the episode and you guys were already done with your guest. How did that go, by the way? I haven't had a chance to listen back to it.
TJ Crawford was an awesome guest last week. And before we fall too deep into the Shining Wizards podcast hole, Tony, your relationship with Mike Freeland over at the Front Row Material podcast, it's drawing some new fans over here who are very happy with what they're listening to.
And that's awesome.
I'm sure our show has a ton of shit humor just like Mikey and Jerry and Mike do. So it's a home run for everyone involved.
We're like podcast butt twins.
Yes, butt buddies.
Butt buddies, that's right. That's what it was.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Mike is constantly like plugging away on his show talking about us. And Mikey Whipwreck even like half-heartedly discussed it. It's like, are you wearing that Shining Wizard shirt again?
Did we get Mikey a t-shirt?
No, because Mikey doesn't respond on Twitter.
Come on.
I talk to Mikey all the time.
Come on, Mike.
Didn't we screw up his interview?
Like, no. We couldn't get him to add to a Skype call because he was afraid that we were going to do something with his phone number. So he was calling on a blocked number. So it was not necessarily our fault. He was calling in and he just couldn't get connected to the call. So he got annoyed at us and we got annoyed at him, but everything worked out. It was fine. It was fun. Mikey has not gotten back to me. Mike Freeland gets back to me all the time. He's a super cool guy. We still gotta figure out doing a little, crossover ski with Mr. Mike Freeland. But if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, at FRM Pod, it's Front Row Material. They're over at the MLW Radio Network. Mike Freeland hosts. It's Mikey Whipwreck, Jerry Lynn, a whole lot of hilarity. And they had a two-parter where they interviewed PCO, and they also did an interview with the guys from, oh, God, I'm going to screw this up.
The Major Matt. Wrestling Figure Podcast?
No. Matt, the Two-Man Power Trip. And the reason why I know the Two-Man Power Trip is because those were the guys that Howard Finkel was telling was JTG was with instead of with us. If you guys remember that from Legends of the Ring. So there you go. The world goes around and comes around. They actually mentioned that they were in town around that time for WrestleMania. So shout out to those guys as well. They do.
I kind of remember that. The Fink said it was at Legends, right? He announced it over the PA mic?
Yes.
That's right.
No, he announced it to the PA. I forget if it was JTG or if it was Joel Gertner. I'm almost positive it was JTG joining us. And they said I'm pretty sure they said he was signing his book. And then he's like, I stand corrected. It's the Shining Wizards.
Ah, the Fink. Fink is Maximus, baby.
Yes, I miss the Fink. The Fink was a fucking cool guy.
The best picture of all time. With
him holding the mic? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's probably, I'm not jealous. I'm probably really, really jealous of that picture that you got with him. That's really cool.
I even got a great picture with Nikolai Volkoff, which I got to circulate around more. He was a really cool guy too.
Like the Finkus is just like unmatched, man. Unmatched Finkus.
Yeah, and if you're listening and you get a chance, go back and watch Legends House, because despite all the other characters on the show, Howard Finkel really opens up about like his childhood and coming up in the business and whatnot. And it's really good stuff. Like, he's really a kind soul who had to eat shit for a long time, unfortunately. But what an amazing guy and an amazing talent and synonymous with WWF. So go check that out. Learn something and be entertained. It's a good show, Legends House.
Not as good as Wrestle House.
Unfortunately, we lost somebody that was quite important to the show very early when the show was beginning. Found out that James Harris, a.k.a. Kamala, passed away. Are you okay, Matt? Is your microphone working?
No. Wait. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're awful quiet. You're low in the mix, but we can hear you.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
This cat's been fucking around on my shit.
That cat loves Shining Wizard Studio B.
Yeah.
God, speaking of being jealous, I'm so jealous of that figure setup still to this day.
Which one?
And I don't even collect the current guys. Ah, that's so good.
What current guys?
All the guys that you have, the Mattels.
There's no current guys.
Those aren't, but I'm current figures is what I meant. Like, I don't purchase current figures.
I got a new one today.
What'd you get? Oh, is it AE Dub?
Oh no!
Is it Retro?
I do
Fest?
Want to take
Did I
a
see
minute.
A Retro Fest logo?
What?
Did I see a Retro Fest logo?
No.
No. No, I didn't. Oh, Wendy.
Well, Wendy. Good old Richter Action.
Wendy Peppercorn.
First time ever in the line. I went to shitty fucking Target, so.
Yeah, she was a hard one to find early on, but good. I mean, it's still a good pickup, but people don't respect or know a whole lot about Wendy Richter, especially like current day, like figure collectors. Like, they don't really know like the legacy of Wendy. So that's why I feel like she's been warming the pegs, but great figure, great belt, by the way. That belt is glorious.
Yeah, I'm going to crack this sucker open at some point and put her back in the display. And stills 0 for whatever at the Walmarts for AEW figures. So,
Do they have belts in stock when you've gone?
No, I've seen zero of AEW.
Now, here's what pisses me off, too. They have nothing for AEW on their website at all, which I was kind of surprised at. Don't they typically put that shit up for sale on the website as well?
No.
Why?
Because it's gone through Ringside Collectibles or just the retail stores, so it's not available like
it's
on
definitely
their website.
Not available on the Walmart website either, so you just have to get it through Ringside Collectibles.
Yeah, but Ringside Collectibles does sell things on the Walmart website.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I found tons of stuff from WWE that's sold from Ringside Collectibles on there, but nothing from AEW, which was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, the COVID has got it all twisted. So how you guys been? How'd you do with the hurricane? Did your shitty vacation get cut short, you fucking dickhead?
Yeah, we wound up coming back. Of course, we drove back. We had to abandon ship. Let's put it that way. We drove home 2 o'clock in the morning, into Tuesday. I guess it was already Tuesday at that point. And we drove through like two major thunderstorms, which had nothing to do with the hurricane. and we rolled up probably about 4:15 in the morning.
Oh,
let me tell you something. If you're gonna leave somewhere and you need to take the parkway, leaving at 2:30 in the morning is not a bad thing, especially during the week, because nobody's out.
Yeah.
We went a good 90 miles, and there were two other cars that we passed and a truck, and that was it. Even during the torrential downpours, we were on the express lanes. We were the only fucking car in the express lanes. It was terrifying, but it was awesome because nobody was around. We didn't have to worry about some dickheads trying to pass us. No dickheads clogging a lane. Slow and steady all the way home. So
let me ask you this, though. Once everything was kind of – how long was your vacation originally planned for?
We were supposed to stay till Friday. We wound up coming home Monday morning, like early Tuesday morning. So
after everything kind of passed by on Tuesday, why didn't you go back?
Because it was more than just the hurricane that we came home. My kid, I want to word this. My kid doesn't have COVID. Let me just put this out there. My kid wasn't feeling great. I think he was a little nervous and a little apprehensive about what was going on in terms of the weather. And I guess he's never really been to the boardwalk at this age. So I think with all the people being around, like maybe it got to him a little bit. So
I'm like that now.
Yeah, well. It was a little bit more of a like a panic kind of situation where there was talk of the hurricane, then there was talk of the rain, and then all these people were around. So we just decided to abandon ship. So, I mean, it is what it is. The hotel was fine. I mean, they took care of us. So, like, we didn't lose out on a lot of shit. So whenever we feel like going back, we're welcome to go back. We got a little bit of a credit ski with them. So.
And where were you? Wildwood?
Huh?
Wildwood?
Yes.
Ah, I love Wildwood. What hotel?
We were in Diamond Beach. We were at the Icona. So,
oh.
Yeah, we went a little further south just to keep away from the crowds, too. But it was fun. But, you know, when something's going on with one of your kids, you just kind of have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, of course.
Of course. And that's probably the last place you want to be during a hurricane is right on the water. So,
hey, you know what? I don't think that area got it too badly in terms of the hurricane. Now a fucking tornado wound up ripping through the area, so that's a different story. But in terms of the actual hurricane, I think they were pretty well spared down there.
I don't know. I saw some crazy videos of Wildwood.
Really? Because yeah. I think it was more up north. Like once you started getting to like Asbury and like Seaside and stuff like that. But
Wildwood had some crazy videos, like roofs flying off places and stuff.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yes, one building had a roof ripped off. But in terms of being home, we actually got away with this one. And I think it's only because we're like fucking weather old men over here. The storm wound up coming up through Philadelphia, which, if anybody's unfamiliar, that's a good maybe 70, 80 miles away from the coast. So it wound up actually going through your neck of the woods, Matt, and you didn't have too good of a time, I understand.
Yeesh.
No, it was not a fun time. I was at work, and then my wife sent me a picture of a tree through the shed. But the flip side of the coin is it didn't hit the house, and it didn't damage anything but the shed. And it's not like the shed was something we put there. It's kind of in the backyard, so
Now, the way that you made it sound initially was that it wasn't your tree. Or it wasn't your yard, unless I'm misreading that. I thought it was like maybe a tree from a neighbor's house that fell on your shed.
Or your
tree that fell on somebody else's shed.
No, right on our shed, right in the backyard, over the fire pit and all the furniture. Didn't touch the grill. But, yeah, that cleanup was more of a pain in the ass than anything.
Ah, that's right. You had to go all Steven Regal on us.
I did, and I continued that today. My wife busted out the chainsaw with the neighbor Saturday to finish what I couldn't get to, and then I finished cutting some lumber today. And we didn't have power for a couple days.
That was gonna be my next question, because you couldn't do the AEW post game show with D-Generation Y. That's right. This was Matt all week.
There he is. There's the guns. The gun is upon us.
Yeah, I lost. We didn't have power all day Tuesday into late Wednesday night, and then it's just playing catch up at that point. You gotta, you know, make sure all the shit in the fridge isn't bad. You know, and I was still working, so you know, Tuesday, Thursday night when I came home, I just had to catch up and finish doing laundry and shit that I had started Tuesday. So, whatever. I missed the post show. I got some problems with Kate and Ryan. They let you two fucking jabronis waltz right in there. NWO theme song playing. We're taking over.
That was planned. That fucking, was planned, baby.
They laid down like fucking Hogan or like Jeff Jarrett for Hogan at fucking Bash at the Beach. Not happy about it. Not happy at all. They could have. You know, I don't know. We got some. Me and
you don't have to like it, but you better learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. Woo!
I can tell you there will be retaliation. I don't know when.
Wait. First of all, what did we do that was so bad?
You invaded.
Are we kayfabing this?
You were all in. You played the song. You guys were taking over. It's okay.
We hopped the guardrail. We got past security. We jumped right in that ring, and we are just too sweet.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll see what happens now.
That was weird. That was a weird change of pace in terms of like actually going over a show and talking about every little thing. That was.
You guys did a fucking awesome job. Minus Tony talking about fucking Kofi Kingston and EC fucking W, which is not ECW. Yeah. Just call it WWE.
CW.
But no, you guys fucking killed it. It was a great listen. I actually really enjoyed being a listener and just listening. I had a lot of fun.
So. You had a little heat with Tony, though, for doing something.
I have heat with everybody for doing something on every fucking show just because I'm a dickhead, and I know it'll get a reaction. Oh, because you guys took my fucking gimmick and everyone did a Taz impersonation?
All right, well,
Tony's like,
myself?
Oh, just call in.
Can I defend myself? I just got excited in the moment and just started talking like Taz.
You do a good like Taz, like doing commentary. I can't even reach that. I just yell brother a lot.
Brother.
Brother!
See? You motherfucker. You steal my gimmick.
That's all the freaking gimmick is. Oh, like you're the first one to go, goddamn.
No. I'm going to take these three wizards for $750.
Goddamn.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have anything to do with that. Somebody else took us for that money. All in all, though, it was a fucking shitty week, and I'm happy it's over.
I didn't even feel bad for myself or for Matt. I felt really bad for Kevin because the look on his face after we counted the money three times and it didn't change. Kevin was like, really? Really? It was like somebody told him that the Easter Bunny wasn't real. Santa wasn't real. And he wasn't getting any gifts for his birthday. It was like a fucking trifecta of shit piled on.
If I remember correctly, I wasn't really working at this point. And it was like I took a whole lot of my own like personal money that I just had that I was saving for like life, and I put it into that.
Yep.
For those not familiar with the story, we vended Taz at a PWS show in Brooklyn, and it was sold to us by the promoter, who was not Pat Buck at the time. Pat dealt with the wrestling side. The shady business side was run by somebody else, and if you're familiar with PWS, you'll know who that person was. We were sold
oh my
a
God.
Bill
I
of goods.
Can I?
It was Taz's first appearance in Brooklyn.
Which on paper sounds delightful.
Sure, but when the place fits like six people, it's a whole different story.
I remember walking right in, and the first thing I saw to my left, as soon as I walked in, was the occupancy sign, and it's like. It is unlawful to have more than 250 people in this building or something like that. And we were told there was going to be like 600 people there.
Yeah, that was the bad bill of sale on that one. Yeah. I mean, we had vended Ricky Steamboat before. We did okay. John Morrison, we did okay. But yeah, this one was just a bag of shit. And it had nothing to do with Taz. Taz was fucking cool as shit.
Right.
Probably one of the best guests we've had as like in terms of like personability.
And the talent doesn't know. So the talent, someone brings the talent in, and then somebody vends the talent. And who's ever in charge of putting a monetary value on that tells dumb podcasters like us who think it's going to be. And if you're a podcaster and you're new to this game or you want to get involved in wrestling, don't fucking vend somebody. Okay? Unless it's fucking, I don't know, like Zack Ryder's first appearance in like fucking New Jersey is going to be, that's worth putting the money out for. You know, the venue,
that's
like,
it's funny that you mentioned that,
but I don't ever get into vending. Cause it's, you know, we mentioned Steamboat and we mentioned, Morrison and we made a little money. But don't forget, we ate our balls on that fucking bombshells of wrestling bullshit with Shelly Martinez and Mickey Knuckles.
Oh, I wasn't involved in that. Thank God.
Neither was I.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Too Cool Scorpio.
I was not in on that either.
We didn't break even for that. That's a shame.
You could have. I would take that chance again on those two.
It just was. And Taz, we ate shit on Taz. We ate a big turd burglar sandwich.
Here's a little something from your Uncle Tony. A little advice to all you guys that are doing the vending and the podcasting.
Dr. Donk?
Yes, Dr. Donk in the house, and we are in session. If you're going to vend someone, offer them the space and tell them it's up to them to do whatever they want. So, you know, like we had Joel Gertner with us. We had JTG with us. And we've told these guys, look, we've got table space. If you want to come in, we'll promote that you're going to be there. But whatever gimmicks you sell, it's all you. So you don't put anything out. You just provide a little space. You know, you get them to come over. They get people to come over to see us. We get people to come over to see them. And whatever they sell, they sell. And it's on them. They want to just hang out and not sell anything? Then you didn't lose anything. They fucking sell like crazy. I mean, Nigel McGuinness, perfect example. Didn't think he was going to sell a thing. Motherfucker sold out all the DVDs he brought. He had a line going out the door at the convention center.
Yeah, we had a great location for that.
And we were right next to Sirius XM, by the way, at the time. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes. I think Doug Mortman.
Yes. Doug's there. Yes.
One of the original hosts of Busted Open with Dave LaGreca. Was Dave there?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at old pictures, but Doug was definitely there because I was shitting with Doug before the show started.
And you know who was also there who we chatted with? Vic Joseph, who is one of the commentators for WWE now, was there with Tommy Dreamer. As a part of House of Hardcore.
Oh.
And he was doing stuff with he did play by play I think for either the Browns or the Bengals on their local TV affiliate out in Cleveland or Cincinnati. And he got me hooked up with the interview with Tommy Dreamer. And when I asked Dreamer for that picture and I was like, I'll buy something, he's like, don't worry about it, just come here. And Dreamer gave me the picture for free of me and Dreamer at that event. So Vic Joseph was the hookup there.
Those are fun, man. Those are fun. But like I said, if you want to bring somebody in, offer them the spot. And that's probably the best way to do it. You don't have to worry about eating shit. And you guys can hang out, have a good time, and help one of the boys or one of the ladies make some cash.
Because nine times out of ten, they're there anyway. So, yeah. Like, they're in the area because it's WrestleMania, right? Legends isn't WrestleMania week per se, but
yeah, but they use like all the local promotions will build around knowing, you know, when the Legends convention is in October, like, you know, all the places,
oh, God,
in,
yeah,
all the places in New York run and all the places in Jersey bring in talent because they know all these guys are going to be in there. So, but yeah, it's fun. If you have the space, like Tony said, offer them, you know, hey, we can't necessarily pay you, but anything you sell is yours. So whatever.
Yeah, you pretty much just have to get there with your shit. That's the only thing you need to do.
The problem with the shady wrestling promoter is when they come to you and they say, you can vend wrestler A for this amount of money. Is that, you know, how much of that money is shady promoter putting in his pocket and how much is he giving to Taz?
Because
when you vend a wrestler, the wrestler doesn't see any of that money from you.
Right. He just gets the envelope.
He gets for whatever the wrestling promoter. So if the wrestling promoter says, I'll give you $1,500 for an hour signing or an hour and a half signing, he goes, yeah, absolutely.
And then he comes to us and charges us $2,000.
Yeah. Puts $500 in his pocket and Taz gets his $15 and we're standing there holding our ding dongs like a bunch of ding dongs.
Yep. I hold him a dick, just not with Taz. Sorry.
You learn, you know?
Brother.
There were two things I thought like that could have. I still think that everything was right for that. It was his first appearance since leaving TNA. I think it was his first autograph signing since leaving WWE. I think at the time it was just we got sold on the occupancy that was not remotely close to what it was, and we're in this little like cubbyhole in the back of the building, like next to Mantar.
Yeah, but overall, compared to what the house was, he did good business. The problem was the house was just fucking insanely small. Yeah. That was the problem. He had no. We had tons of people coming up to him, but I think, you know, once you hit that mark, especially with a crowd of 250, that's it, brother. Nobody else is coming. It's Dunsky.
I mean, but going back to just how good of a guy Taz is, it was a lot of fun chatting with him. I found out he was a Buffalo Bills fan and a Green Bay Packers fan, and not a Jets fan like he fronts to be. Like, that was disappointing, but good guy. And then he mentioned that isn't that where you told him about the Del Wilkes?
Yes, we were the contact between the two of them.
Yeah, and that was when his CBS show was first starting out. So, like, Del Wilkes was either on the first or second episode, and Taz actually gave us a plug on that first episode, which was fucking awesome.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Yeah. And then he plugged us again and thanked us for getting Del Wilkes, you know, for his show. And Del's awesome, by the way, too. He does a podcast now, I think, on Sunday nights.
Unmasking the Truth?
Yes. Good one. Thank you, Kevin. It's on Facebook Live. I know that. Definitely on Sunday nights. You know, reach out to Del. Become his friend. He's actually a really cool fucking follow on Facebook, so... There you go.
You know who else is a really fun follow on Facebook?
Who's that?
Fucking Marty Jannetty, buddy.
Oh, fuck me sideways. You know.
Don't say that too loud. He might.
I thought it was interesting when he was putting out tweets about trying to fuck his daughter. And I'm like, wow, fucking Marty really went there. What the fuck happened to him when he was 13, dude? What in the fucking blue hell?
If this is true, it explains a lot about his adult personality.
This took place in Ohio somewhere, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 1973.
Yeah. I wasn't even born yet.
In a bowling alley.
Yes. Well, behind a bowling alley, allegedly. Bowling alley.
Well, bowling alley adjacent.
So let me see if I get this straight. So he was buying weed from this guy.
Yep.
And then after he made the purchase, the guy stuck his hand on his junk. And then he tried to run, and the guy chased him, and Marty grabbed a brick and fucking bludgeoned him. And then he threw him in the river. Is that the story?
The Chattanooga.
I just want to say, first and foremost,
Chattahoochee.
I don't believe any of this.
Well, they are investigating.
Of course they're investigating, because a lunatic made a freaking ridiculous comment. Have you heard half the stuff he posts every single time he posts? He's a nut job. I love him. One of my favorites, unless he's actually a murderer. But then that changes the game.
Hold on. I mean, if he was sexually assaulted and he killed somebody with a brick, I think that's justifiable homicide.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And I read some threads on there. Like, there was like a lawyer in, I think it was Georgia, actually.
Yes, Columbus, Georgia. Yeah. Sorry.
It was Georgia. I was thinking Columbus, Ohio for some reason.
Because I was reading a thread on Twitter, and this lawyer from Georgia was chiming in, like, with all of, like, the statutes and all this and that about how, like, he wouldn't have even been charged then with it if it happened the way he said it happened. And even if he would have been charged as a juvenile and this and that. And there's no way to charge him now with what he did then. So it was pretty interesting with that. But, yeah, he's a lunatic.
You find a lot of wrestlers from this era to be pretty crazy. Didn't Billy Jack Haynes also tell a story on Facebook where he killed a man?
Billy Jack Haynes has also told a lot of stories on Facebook, but so I wouldn't put that past him.
As has Marty Jannetty.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I really don't. I think Marty is really just like being Marty, even though that's a pretty Marty thing to say, even for Marty.
Yeah, that's fucking awful.
That's like 1996 Marty, like with fringes all over his tights. Marty, that's a crazy Marty.
Well, in the middle of him confessing this, he's also complaining about a Jamaican woman that he was in love with. So,
oh yeah, he made some not so nice comments in amongst the big news, which I didn't know till much later. A lot of homophobia and racist things in there, which I didn't know about till later.
That's Marty Jannetty for you, buddy.
That is Marty.
And now the fucking Columbus, Georgia police, who probably have more important shit to do than look into crazy fucking ramblings of a former professional wrestler, have to spend resources to see if this is actually true or if it's fucking Marty Jannetty just looking for attention on Facebook.
Matt, you know what that is? That resource is a phone call, and that's it. That's
it. All you got to do is check the records to see if it was missing persons reports from 1973. That's all. And then you start from there. If nobody was reported missing, then it's fucking over.
Have you ever had someone interrupt your egg salad sandwich with nonsense? You think these cops need that shit?
Wait. What cops do you know are eating egg salad sandwiches?
I just assume the police eat an egg salad sandwich. No yeah. Cops have ever eaten an egg salad sandwich?
Not in my presence, no.
You know what, though, Kevin? Matt may be onto something, because an egg salad sandwich does sound like something a police officer would eat.
And I'm not going to lie. An egg salad sandwich right now sounds pretty good. I'm pretty hungry.
I love me some egg salad. Don't get me wrong.
Starving, Jesus.
But no, I have not. I've worked in a place for a while, and I've not seen one officer eat egg salad sandwich.
Wow. Okay. Maybe. How about donuts?
Oh yeah, we get donuts all the time.
Well, there you go.
So it's not a stereotype.
Yeah. Well. What?
Yeah, well, but it's not a stereotype. Types are true, really. Matt. If they bring them in themselves, then it's not.
Makes it a stereotype, of course.
Kevin, can you run an egg salad sandwich poll this week? Be like, you guys eat egg salad sandwich?
I'll ask every single one of them. I don't care. I will.
Maybe I'll have my wife make some egg salad sandwiches.
We have egg salad. I have egg salad up in the fridge. My dad makes a mean egg salad.
I'm on the way. I'll see you guys soon.
I kind of prefer a tuna salad or a macaroni salad myself.
Don't sleep on egg salad. He puts a little Tabasco, little salt and pepper on it.
Don't get me wrong. You know what my jam is, though? Fucking potato salad. I love me some potato salad. That's some good shit. When you got potato salad at a barbecue, I get myself a burger, I get some fucking baked beans and a fucking potato salad, I'm good to go.
Are you a coleslaw guy?
No, not a fan of coleslaw. The only way I'll eat coleslaw is if it's on a fucking
pulled pork sandwich. Yeah. My man,
Potsy.
Oh, I love it because it adds a crispness and the coldness to the hot.
Yes,
the hot pulled pork. Maybe a little, totally. I'm gonna reach here. Maybe throw a little pickle on top of that.
I can go for the pickle. That's fine, but I won't eat.
You need that crunch.
I won't eat that shit any other way though, unless it's on pulled pork. Definitely, 100%.
Oh, all right, Tony. We're simpatico, Matt.
No, Matt. Matt's fucking like thinking about it.
No, I don't like coleslaw. It's disgusting.
I don't either. But on top of a pulled pork sandwich, that's some good shit. You got some barbecue sauce. Got some good shit there, man.
Sloppy
good.
Joe.
Sloppy Joe. I wouldn't put it on a sloppy Joe, but I do love me.
It is on a sloppy Joe. There's two different versions of sloppy Joes. You got like your loose meat sloppy Joe, and then you have your, you know, like deli like catered sloppy Joe, which has the coleslaw on it. Like with the meat.
I could do without it. I could do without the coleslaw.
Yeah.
I'm not a coleslaw guy.
Macaroni salad?
Look, macaroni salad, potato salad, I'm in. Any salad where you put fucking mayonnaise in, I'm in.
Some macaroni salads aren't great. Potato salads, I've never run into a bad potato salad.
That's true. My sister-in-law made like a pasta salad, right? And she put bacon, delicious, tomato, ooh, delicious. Lettuce, like a BLT pasta salad.
What? Why would you put lettuce in a fucking pasta salad?
Exactly.
I would. You know what I would throw in there? Mozzarella balls.
Oh, the mutz.
I don't hate the lettuce thing too much, except for the fact that it would probably get really, really soggy. Really, really.
No, I love me some soggy lettuce. You get me a sub, dude. It's got shredded lettuce and tomato on top. Yo, oil and vinegar that shit up for days.
That's a whole different lettuce, though.
Yeah, that's a whole different lettuce, Tony.
But I wouldn't put lettuce in a fucking pasta salad.
No,
it's
why would
fucking
you do
gross.
That?
All right, where do we stand?
Uh-oh.
On three bean salad.
I'm okay. I like three bean salad.
Never had it.
Never had three bean.
Never had three bean.
Very acidic.
Really?
I'll give you three guesses what's in it.
Beans and beans.
All right.
What kind of beans they put in there?
Depends.
Like, you don't put like refried or black beans. You get like fucking
put fucking refried beans. Why would you put, what the fuck? What kind of savage are you?
No. Like, what do you put in there? Like chickpeas? Like, what's in that shit?
Kevin, he said, what do you put? Refried beans in a fucking three bean salad?
Beans.
You fucking adult.
right, let's see. Let's go with the. Let's see what the ingredients are in three bean salad. Here we go.
We're hearing Kevin's bomb shelter as he's going to read off the labels of canned items.
This why doesn't have the kinds of beans that are in here?
Garbanzo?
This is the greatest podcast ever. Hold on.
Well, you know.
You know, three beans. It doesn't. How does it not tell you what beans are in here?
Oh, my goodness.
Got definitely chickpea, garbanzo. Here we go. Get off the soundboard.
All right, so these are the ingredients in Aunt Nellie's three bean salad.
Nellie!
That's, we got a name of the episode. green beans, water, wax beans, kidney beans, sugar, distilled vinegar, dehydrated onions, red bell peppers, salt, soybean oil, and turmeric.
See, I got one here that says cannellini beans, kidney beans, and garbanzo beans.
That's a bush league. That's not Aunt Nellie's.
No, this is Elise. Elise Power. She makes a good fucking three bean salad.
Elise Navidad.
She'll probably finish you off too after you finish.
I hate your guts.
That's right. All right. Well, we talked about three bean salad on a wrestling podcast.
We talked about many salads. We would throw a pretty good barbecue. I'm not going to lie. I think we would throw a good
Kevin
barbecue.
Kevin will toss any salad you want.
I deserve that.
All right, so you guys did the AEW Dynamite post show, and I finally got the opportunity to watch Dynamite today.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Nelly. I thought it was a good episode. I enjoyed
it. Oh, that's right. Your cat's name is Nelly. Aunt Nelly's three bean salad.
Yep.
They don't pay us.
I enjoyed Dynamite. I thought it was a good show. Yeah.
How about Matt Hardy, huh?
Yeah, Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy got hit in the head with a chair.
Yeah, did you see the replay that I posted up in the Discord where they had a different camera angle?
No. He definitely fucking ate shit, though. The hardest way to go. And
I thought at first it was the post because he was checking his head after he hit the post. But no, dude, it was definitely the fucking chair, 100%. Da-dung!
And look, this may be me being an ECW guy, a deathmatch guy. Stop complaining about the blood on the fucking TV. Enough. It's a fucking fight. It's a wrestling match.
Nah, dude, he fucking
No, I know. Fight. I know he did. But somebody who I won't name, who's not on the show tonight, who does a show with me, was like, too much blood.
Oh, it's Van Winkle.
It sounds like Ryan, yeah.
I think it was actually Kate.
Oh, you see, dude, I was trying to Kate for you.
Well, that was okay. A hell of a
She's
Ryan.
In the hot mic. She'll talk shit to me.
I was doing kayfabe there.
That was an uncanny Ryan, though, by the way.
Was it?
So, yeah.
Add it to my fucking list of impersonations. I really enjoyed the main event. I like Moxley and I like Darby. I like Taz on commentary. I thought he did a good job. I thought Cardona looked good. I liked the tag match. I thought the tag match was done well. I was happy with the show. The fucking Rebel and the Big Swole thing was funny. Yeah, I'm excited for next week. I'm looking forward to this All Out, All In, whatever the fuck is happening in September.
Matt, I gave AEW Dynamite an A grade. Like, if you were on the show, the post-game show, you know how you guys do the grades and what you would grade. A lot of people gave it a B, B minus, B plus. I went straight out A because I thought the good way outweighed if there was any bad on it at all.
Look, I even enjoyed the tag match, the big 12-man tag match.
Yeah, me too.
I thought they did a great job. I didn't think it was too much. So, yeah, I would have given it an A. I thought it was a solid show. The Jericho Orange Cassidy shit, when he starts like talking about – when Orange Cassidy starts talking about like fucking global warming and like the seas are rising at an eighth of an inch a day, like fucking brilliant stuff. Brilliant job, too, by them, like, bringing in Eric Bischoff. And, yes, it's Eric Bischoff, but he still is in the background of the whole thing. Like, he doesn't hog the spotlight. He doesn't take up the story. I thought they did a really nice job with that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It wasn't about Bischoff. It was he came in. He got, you know, if there was a live audience, he would have got a big pop. And that would have been it. And then he would have did his job just like he did. And then you just saw him scurry off into the night. When the action started. So I agree, Matt. I thought it was perfect. And I really, I, What are you playing, Tony?
This is John Moxley's intro.
I mean, Justin Roberts is awful.
It's not coming across well at all, unless that's me.
No, it's not coming through at all.
That was perfect. It came across for me.
Yeah, but we didn't pick it up.
That's all right.
I feel like you've been doing that a lot.
That's okay. It's all good.
But yeah,
no, it's not all good.
It is all good. It was entertaining me.
Yeah, but no, we're not entertaining. So you weren't around last week. I wasn't around the week before. So you're just not invested in talking with me and Kevin now.
No, I was playing John Moxley in the background because you guys were talking
about
John.
But no one can hear it.
I could.
That's not for you. There's fans. I can't see Nelly's butt every time she comes on the screen.
Listen, we are fucking broadcasting from home. There's shit you play that I can't hear. There's shit I play that you can't hear. It just is what it is.
I don't like your attitude.
I fucking heard that.
Good.
I'm sure Tony, Hot Mike heard it too. Hey, please tip us a dollar if you like Matt's puking.
Isolate it.
Tony, did you change the background? Is there stuff that... Are there new 8x10s up there?
Are you ripping me? Yeah.
So fucking Dark is set up nice this week. You got Rachel Ellering making her debut.
Oh man.
So that's
I like this. This is what I like about AEW and what I it's a blessing and a curse with what they do. Every week they bring in someone new to wrestle on Dark or wrestle on Dynamite. And then all of a sudden everyone's like sign. And I thought the only one that really deserved it was Eddie Kingston. Just because of who he has been and what he's done for the business as a whole. But every week, like, they're bringing these new people. And I feel like there's going to be a clamoring every week for these people to get signed. And it's just not possible to me. And I'm not saying this has nothing to do with Rachel Ellering. This has been a thing that I've been thinking about for a while. Do you guys have any input on, like, on AEW's bringing in new talent in terms of all these, like, tryouts, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word?
Tony? I mean,
the one thing I don't like is that everybody that gets cut from somewhere thinks that Tony Khan's just going to open up his fucking pay his wallet and pay these guys. And that's not how it works. You know what I'm saying? I can completely 100% understand Eddie Kingston getting signed. Ricky Starks coming in and being the first guy for this challenge and then getting signed right away. It was kind of like maybe it set a bad precedent. Because look, like you look at it, like Ricky Starks comes in as this open challenge guy and then he gets signed. And then Eddie Kingston comes in, open challenge guy, and he gets signed. And then Warhorse comes in and they just fucking bulldoze him over for Matt Cardona to come in. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we finally broke that precedent. I don't think they need to sign everybody that comes in for this open challenge thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, I'm with you. I don't think they should. I just think, look, there's what's the fucking word I'm looking for? There's situations where this is going to fit. Ricky Starks makes the most sense. Here's a company where in another year or so, you know, clearly Cody and the Bucks aren't going to be wrestling forever. Like, look at the young guys, the MJFs, the Jungle Boys, the Darby Allins, the Ricky Starks, super fucking talented dudes, and they're young. And you can build your company around them with the help of the Jerichos and the Cody. Like, Jericho can't wrestle forever. You know, Kingston makes perfect sense because I think you guys may have talked about it Thursday night. Like, LAX, distancing themselves from the inner circle. Like, wouldn't you be into a storyline where Eddie Kingston's like, Jericho's a fucking clown. You guys are fucking badass, and he's got you doing goofy shit like reunite the LAX. Kingston can work. His promos are fucking fire. Warhorse, he's good, but is he ready for that stage? No. All these other, like, NXT releases, like, there's nothing for them to do. They're not working anywhere, you know?
I think Kevin said it on Thursday as well. Warhorse did okay, but he wasn't really impressive.
No, he didn't blow the fucking... He's not... His in-ring stuff is good, but it's all the other shit. It's the promos beforehand. It's the headbanging. It's all that shit.
And they didn't give him any of that, which surprised me, to be honest with you.
He came out, he headbanged with the fans.
Yeah, but they didn't really give him that chance, like, to cut the promo, or you know what I'm saying? It didn't seem like there was a lot of build-up for him.
And I think there's a lot of, and I think I touched on this on Thursday too. It's just managing your expectations of what AEW is going to be, especially shows like Dark. And you're going to see a lot of these guys and girls come in and they're going to have their moment. They're going to have, listen, there's nothing wrong with the going there and not being signed. So like, I think fans are getting really too, this might be a little unfair to say, a little too selfish in terms of what they want from their darling talent that they've known on the independent scene. I guess there's going to be one of these talents every week that comes in that's going to have a fan base, a very vocal fan base, that's going to want their guy or girl to get signed. And it's just not possible. You can't sign like every single person that comes in. So while it'll trend for a little bit, you know, sign war, like Eddie Kingston is the outlier just because of how good Eddie Kingston is and how talented he is. And he has so much to offer in so many different assets of the wrestling business. But like Warhorse, as popular as he might be, does he deserve a contract right away? I mean, like, you can make an argument for a lot of guys that have contracts and a lot of guys that don't have contracts there.
And I think his appearance just goes that much more in terms of mileage for him, where it's like, hey, this guy just got national TV exposure, taking on Cody Rhodes for a major championship. You know, what I'm saying? And I think for a lot of these guys, that's just enough to get these guys a spark to maybe build up, you know, behind them, get the machine going behind them, and not necessarily have to get him a contract. But to go back to another point, Ricky Starks came in, they gave him promo time, they gave him camera time, then they get him in the ring and he looked great. Eddie Kingston, they did the same thing. They gave him promo time. He was out there talking shit to Arn Anderson, talking shit to Cody, winds up getting a contract. And that could be the telling thing. The more time they wind up giving these guys, the better indication that they have future plans for them.
Yeah, and Warhorse could eventually get a contract. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve one.
No doubt. No doubt. But probably just doesn't fit into the cards at this point, which is completely understandable. Like I said, they can't sign everyone. You know, 5,000 people lost their jobs in WWE. That doesn't mean they're all going to become the next AEW signees.
Only one did, and that was Cardona.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, you know, Ty Conti is going to be in the...
Well, FTR also came in, but they were completely...
That was the pre... And now, listen, that had the writing on the wall for a long time.
But you know, they're using these people. There's nothing for them to do. And Rachel Ellering, you know, no one expects her to come in and be the next fucking Charlotte Flair. But she's look, these are good. They're good hands. They worked in the NXT system. And as much as, you know, you want to shit on the WWE or you're not a fan, whatever, they're coming from NXT, which is arguably some of the best talent in the world.
Yeah, and they teach you how to, like, their sole purpose is to teach you how to work TV.
So to have these people on Dark and be involved, like, even, like, Rachel Ellering, she's probably going to lose to Penelope Ford on Dark, which is fine. Tino Sabatino, whatever his name is, they brought him in a couple weeks ago. He lost in a tag match.
Oh, my God, I forgot he was there.
They called him Sabby, didn't they?
Yeah, they called him Sabby, but they're not doing anything, you know? They're in the area. Bring him in, give him a payday, you know, and if it works out, it works out. But you don't have to sign everybody to a contract. You're giving people something to do, and it helps elevate your talent. Penelope Ford beats Rachel Ellering, you know, that's a coup in fucking Penelope Ford's hat. You know, they did, look, they set us up perfectly with the Anna Jay stuff. They all these vignettes and shit, and you're like, oh, Anna Jay's going to come out and squash somebody, and then fucking Abaddon comes out and annihilates her. It was awesome. And if any place needs help, it's their women's division. So I don't think it hurts having Ivelisse and Diamante and Rachel Ellering there. The Taya Conte. Doesn't hurt.
No, you're 100% right. And those three names are all great, great wrestlers, especially like the Ivelisses and the Diamantes are far and above, like head and shoulders above the game. So I have no problem with them using them for this, you know, this woman's cup and this and that. And if I, like, those are two that I would also consider like locking up long term.
Are Diamante and Ivelisse a team? Did they get put together?
They both drew the same color, yes.
It's so fucking planned.
Really, Tony? Really?
Yeah, and the Royal Rumble is random too.
Of course it is.
But you know, and look, everything serves a purpose, it seems like, in AEW and just in wrestling in general. Like, we talk about Matt Hardy. We talk about, a bunch of the ECW guys, Justin Credible and Tony DeVito and Chris Hamrick. And, you know, you go back and watch fucking Superstars from 1995, and they're all doing fucking job matches. You know, the Hardy Boys were just two skinny kids getting beat up by fucking these monster tag teams. Now they're arguably two of the biggest wrestling superstars ever.
And so, they were the guys that were opening the gates for the King of the Ring.
Right. So it's like, yeah, maybe Rachel Ellering shows up on Dark and she gets beat by Penelope Ford. And then next week she gets beat by Nyla Rose. And then she disappears for a couple weeks. And then they bring her back because she did well. She showed promise, whatever. I mean, there's no other way you're going to get to see these people now that they're gone from NXT, because there's really very little wrestling.
And there's still a lot of ambiguity about what these contracts are. Because a lot of these wrestlers that are under contract to AEW are still wrestling other places. So, like, just because someone is signed to AEW doesn't mean that, like, they're, like, all exclusive, locked up, and that's all they can do. Like, same thing with, like, Impact contracts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people wrestle Impact but can also do independence.
Right.
So, like, I think people overstate the value of a contract with a company, because at the end of the day, they're still working other places. So it's not like, I mean, you know, a Matt Hardy or, like, a, you know, Jericho or a Bucks or an Omega. But then you got, like, the Sunny Kisses and the Janellas and the they're working other places. Janella for sure is, and Impact guys are too. So it's just weird how it works. So, like, being a contracted AEW person isn't the be all end all.
Chris Jericho's working other places.
Oh boy.
There's a lot of questions going around there. What
I don't want to.
In fairness, weren't these concerts in states where COVID really wasn't that severe of a problem? Like,
was it Wisconsin?
No, it was like Idaho,
North Dakota, South Dakota.
Yeah, they were states where. I don't even know if they had any kind of lockdowns, to be honest with you. I think a lot of their shit was just like suggestions, but not mandatory.
So the situation, Fozzy played at Sturgis the other night, and they did a 35% capacity indoor, and people were given masks at the door if they didn't have them, and temperature checks were required to get in. But once they got in, they took their masks off, and there's pictures from the concert of everyone like on top of each other, which is what we're trying to avoid. And it's that ignorance and that stupidity where, you know, just because the numbers aren't high doesn't mean that it just, this fucking Jericho could get it just from being there. You know, I read a report today that they showed how one dude in China at an indoor restaurant had it, and 9 people got it because he sat in the path of the air conditioning in the restaurant, and it spread through the air. The cold air blew it towards all these people that were sitting like in front of him. So
now Jericho has to go back. Like, how do you bring Jericho back into work?
Right, you put all this time and effort into this big angle that you've been promoting for 3 weeks. Like, they're going to look like fucktards if he has fucking COVID or he can't wrestle. And I think it's a fucking careless, stupid decision. Nobody, and I think you guys are in the same boat, nobody wants to go back to normal and be able to fucking go outside without a mask more than the three of us and probably people that fucking listen to this. And we want to go to concerts and wrestling shows and the fucking boardwalk. And you don't need to have your fucking kid worrying about fucking COVID when you're on vacation. They're supposed to have fun and have a fucking good time. But this is like just, it's careless. It's moronic. It's stupid. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And you work in a company where you're world champion. His wife got COVID and he wasn't on the show for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're adults. They can do whatever they want. That's a fucking lazy excuse. Stop being fucking selfish.
It's lazy, and if you're, and you could say, like, well, if they're not breaking any laws, if they're abiding by this and that, then you could, like, get away with it. But the fact is, Jericho was on stage with, I mean, he's a singer, so he can't have a mask on, but he's in that environment where it's a freaking bacteria trap. Like, it's like a virus, like, incubator with all those people there. So I don't know. It makes me nervous. Everything makes me nervous, but that was unsettling for me.
Tony?
It's just unbelievable. It really is. I mean,
it's disappointing. You would expect better from him.
If he was doing these concerts and then just going home and, you know, fucking just being in his house for a couple of weeks, fine. But he's going back, and isn't everybody in Jacksonville like supposed to be living in a bubble? Like, everybody's constantly checked. Everybody's constantly like under the gun. And first of all, the temperature check thing is the biggest crock of shit to begin with.
Don't say that.
Dude, if you got a fever, you could pop a Motrin, and in an hour, you don't have a temperature anymore.
Ugh.
Come on, dude. You had to think about that.
I know. I just didn't want to.
And here's something that pisses me off, right? I'm going off on a fucking tangent because
I have enough anxiety and depression as it is right now.
It's
with this
chapping my ass. So there's a lot of kids, especially in my neighborhood, that want to go back to school. They want to go back to school. They miss being in school. They miss seeing their friends. They hate being homeschooled. They hate having to learn on a computer. They think it's a waste of time. They don't think they're learning anything. And I tend to agree with that sentiment. But we have a governor who fucking tells us, yeah, the kids can go back to school, but you can't eat in a fucking restaurant next to somebody. How are you going to tell me that kids can go back in a building and all be around each other for fucking 7-8 hours a day? You can't go to a fucking hot dog joint, sit down and have a hot dog for a half an hour? It's like, what? None of it fucking makes sense, dude.
You want a hot dog? I'll make you a hot dog.
Ooh, would you give it to me between the buns?
With some three-bean salad.
Little butt buddy action.
All right.
But seriously, like, there's no fucking rhyme or reason. If you got a temperature, stay home. You think everybody's staying home? No. They're fucking going to pop a Tylenol, and they're going to fucking just go out and do their business because fuck all y'all. None of it makes sense, dude. None of it makes sense. Jericho doing this doesn't make sense. Kids going back to school and then you can't fucking eat in a restaurant doesn't make sense. Temperature checks, none of it fucking makes sense. And it's been going on since March, dude. When is it going to start making sense? When? When? Tell me, Matt, when?
When people stop being selfish.
Well, that ain't going to fucking happen. So I guess it's never going to fucking go back to normal.
If it don't make dollars, then it don't make sense.
Holla, West Side.
That's right.
Wow, West Side. Wow.
That was a Ken Broadway.
Did you ever fucking walk around doing shit like this? Like East Side, West Side? Or like you fucking...
Nah.
Like, you never did this shit? Like where like you fucking make your fingers make the blood sign? You don't remember this shit?
We have Woe. We have like Woe Town. Like W-O. All
right, well that makes sense. But you never had like the B and then the L... And then you make the O's, and then you make the D, and it spells out blood.
No, I've seen it. I don't do it because I'm not a moron. But I've seen it.
Matt's still trying to figure out. Yeah, you make a B, and then the L.
No, I know what you're doing. It's just stupid.
Matt's not wrong.
Well, this is true.
That right. is not wrong.
Look, can we talk about something else that I think is stupid?
Yeah.
And I know you watched Raw, Tony, so
Ooh, did I watch Raw?
Didn't you watch Raw Underground or whatever the fucking...
Ooh, yes! Fucking A, I love Raw Underground. I thought it was awesome, dude. Fuck all y'all. Dude, the only thing, and I'll be completely honest with you, I think I talked about it Thursday, I don't remember. Shane McMahon cannot be wearing the fucking white kicks if he's fucking doing an underground show. My man's got to get some black shoes on or some shit to blend in. That was goofy. Everything else was fucking awesome. Like when the fucking MVP crew came in and they're like, we're taking over this shit. And they got the three hoochies in the background doing the fucking Kelly Kelly dance and shit. Yo, I'm all in on that. Shane McMahon is fucking money, 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 money. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
So what... Explain to me the purpose of this.
There is no purpose. It's just fucking weird shit, dude. It's like a fucking ring without the ropes, and it's all fucking brown and dingy looking, and there's fucking like mellow rap music playing in the background to give you that thug feel, and just fucking people beating the shit out of each other. Your boy from the fucking Viking Raiders was there kicking some ass.
Yeah,
and I hear Shayna Baszler's going to beat some asses tonight, too.
Did they get, like, ring intros? How does this go down? Is it like a fight club?
Yeah, he just steps up, and Shane McMahon don't even introduce the jobbers. He's like, yo, here's my man Eric from the fucking Vikings, and here's the poor slob that's going to wrestle him, or that's going to fight him. Here we go, and that's it. And then he'll fucking throw him down, he'll throw him down again, and then Shane will be like, stop, he had enough. And the guy don't fucking get up from a fucking hip toss, dude. It's fucking insane. It's awesome. When was the last time you saw somebody get their shit beat on a fucking hip toss? Never. Because they're fucking maniacs. That's why they're kicking the shit out of people.
Brawl for all.
Yes.
Fucking this sounds amazing. Like the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
It's fucking fantastic. It's fantastic.
The only way I'll give this a little bit of respect is if it leads to finally getting a Bobby Lashley-Brock Lesnar match.
No, who cares about that? All I care about that.
That's the only thing I care about in WWE right now is getting that match.
There's some sexy hot bitches fucking dancing over there, and there's some fucking thugs beating each other up. It's fan, and Shane McMahon's in charge. I love it.
Babatunde.
Love it.
Wasn't Babatunde there?
Yes, I think he was, if I recall correctly. But yeah, so hour three of Raw becomes the fight zone.
Wait, the whole hour?
It kind of seemed that way. I think there was a little bit of spliced in shit. But yeah, once 10 o'clock comes around, Shane McMahon says, like, welcome to the fucking whatever, the underground.
And who does commentary for this nonsense?
Shane. He's just fucking yelling shit at ringside. There's no commentary.
So he just yells.
Pretty much. He's like, all right, let him up. It's over.
Yeah, get him. Oh, man, yeah, get him.
Did you see the girls dancing? Did you see the dancing girls?
Listen,
are you fucking 13 years old?
I don't need USA Network to see girls dance.
All right, well, that's you. I prefer seeing Shane McMahon telling hot, sexy women to dance for me.
What kind of weird cuck fantasy do you have with him?
Cuck fantasy? I'm not involved with these women, but Shane McMahon wants to tell these women to dance and they're dancing? I'm not arguing.
I do love the Hurt Business. I will say that.
That's
I'm a big fan of that stable.
Worst fucking name, too.
No, it's not. It's really not.
The Hurt Business.
It's a great name, I think. I think they could have done a lot worse. I think the Hurt Business is with MVP as the spokes guy, love it.
I thought MVP was signed not to be a wrestler, but just to be involved, like, behind the scenes and, like, maybe, like, as a mentor and shit. But he's been fucking wrestling all the time now.
He just signed a new deal, too.
It's just fucking weird. It's really weird.
But now, like, you got to have him be, like, the spokesperson and wrestler, like, the player coach. And, Shelton Benjamin is long overdue for some sort of run here, and I hope he gets it. Even if it's, like, as much as we diminish championships, because they've diminished championships. If you give Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin a tag team title run, that'd be great. Love it.
For who?
Love it.
For you.
What? Why?
That'd be great for you, like, right? Lashley. I just don't understand any of it. So we know wrestling is fake, and now we're gonna make real fake fighting.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing that's hard to do. It's hard to make fake fighting look real.
That's garbage. And New Japan tries it every year at Wrestle Kingdom with fucking Sakuraba, or they used to, and it was fucking bad. Everything you want to see Raw Underground, go watch New Japan from like 2000 to 2005. It was fucking awful. Except they really fought. They let these guys beat the fucking piss out of each other, which was stupid. So fucking dumb. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards you, Matt, in terms of how silly. It looks like Fraggle Rock down there that they're fighting in. But if it, I'll give it a chance. It's 1 week in, and tonight, like, obviously we'll be done by 10, so if I go back up and watch it and it's still silly to me, then I'll be more with you than I am with Tony, even though Tony seems really, really excited about it.
Tony,
fantastic.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
For Raw Underground?
Yes.
Probably an 8.5.
Would you purchase a Raw Underground t-shirt if one was available? And it had Shane McMahon on it with the white kicks and just three silhouettes of hot women dancing. And it just said Raw Underground.
That's weird, though. No,
I'd buy that, man. I'd buy it.
I would get a Raw Underground logo shirt if they were on sale to fucking... I'm not paying $25 for that.
Oh.
If I saw them like for like $10 or they were doing like a BOGO sale, yeah, I'd fucking pick one up.
Oh,
dude, I still have the the Do It Till I'm Raw and Put a Little SmackDown on It shirts in the attic. You don't remember when Raw and SmackDown first split up?
Oh, my God.
Still got them shirts, dude. And you know where I got them? If I remember correctly, I bought them at Stephen Barry's, where everything was $7.98. You remember that fucking store?
Stephen Barry's. Wow.
You remember Stephen Barry's?
I don't.
I think they had one in the Livingston Mall.
That's where I got my fucking John Cena jacket with the camo John Cena on the back. Love that jacket.
Wow. I can't wait for you to go back and listen to this and realize that you told people you own a John Cena camo jacket.
I've posted pictures of it. You want me to put it on? I'll go get it.
God,
go get it.
God, please, right. No.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Abadoo.
God. What?
Abadoo?
I don't know. Dominic is going to make his wrestling debut against Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, the mega show of the summer.
Big time, baby. Have you heard what are their plans? Are they going to do this at the PC? Are they looking for real-life venues for this or what?
So Dave Meltzer reported that they have been considering holding SummerSlam in Atlantic City.
Oh, is that going to be before or after Game Changer and ICW?
I got news for you, Kevin. WWE is going to push whoever they want out of the way to make it happen.
This is from my Fat Tony days. This is actually a Triple
X. That was really quick, by the way.
See, it's got the WWE logo right there on the chest.
It does.
And if you look on the back.
Oh, my God.
God, can you see it? A fucking loser.
$7.98, bro. Right there. Stephen Barry's.
You got anything in the pockets?
Stephen Barry's right there. You see it?
Run them pockets.
Let me see. I don't think I have anything in here.
Why was that so accessible? Why was that so quick to get?
It's a good question.
Because I'm in the studio and I got a cedar closet down here.
And that's where you put all your John Cena shit?
It's where like all the winter coats go.
Is the European Championship in there?
No. The European title's in another area.
Tony, yeah. How do you feel about Dominic Mysterio making his debut at SummerSlam?
I'd rather Dominic Guarini wrestle.
How do you feel about them potentially talking about having SummerSlam at Atlantic City?
What are they going to do, it on the beach? I thought they were talking about a cruise ship at some point, too.
It's reported that they are considering holding it in Atlantic City, even though it's only like 2 weeks away, because they could get 500 people outside if they were socially distanced properly.
I got no problem with it. I think it beats sitting in the fucking Orlando once again.
Yeah, but then you have to worry about travel and getting people there safely and quarantining people, because there is a quarantine thing in New Jersey. If you come from out of state, you're supposed to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Come on, bro.
I'm just saying.
Well, in fairness, look, this is all I got to do. Get a couple buses.
Oh.
Get them on the fucking buses.
Party bus.
From fucking Orlando up to Atlantic City. It's I-95 all the way up and then the expressway straight across. So it ain't like you got to fucking go through like podunk towns or anything like that. And then once you get there, they fucking rent out a fancy hotel and they put them all in the fucking Atlantic City. I'm sure they got nobody in the hotels there as it is to begin.
Does Atlantic City still even have hotels?
Oh, yeah. They got tons of them. There's just and they're plenty vacant. They could probably just rent out a hotel for themselves and get it for like $50 a night.
The showboat.
Wow,
dude,
$50 a night.
That's going to Atlantic City? Nobody. I don't know anybody that's going to Atlantic City.
I mean, Atlantic City has become, for some reason, out of nowhere, like the wrestling spot for independence. Like,
probably because they don't give a shit. They're probably dying to get people to go there. Kev, what happened a couple years ago? Legalized gambling online in New Jersey. Why the fuck would you have to go to Atlantic City if you want to play poker? You don't have to leave your house if you want to piss your money away. Why would you travel to go do that?
I like looking in the guy's eyes when I take their money.
Well, right, good
point.
Answer.
It's a fair point.
Fair enough.
So here's
I do take their money.
Ooh, oh, very cocky. He's getting cocky again.
He doesn't play them, and can you beat that? That's
no, that's
like,
coming.
I'm 4 beers in.
Nobody on this podcast knows more than KJG.
I can't believe I said that.
You said it.
What? No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Rob Van Dam is wrong.
I have a question about one that I won, and I'm still like upset about it. Like I won the event, and I'm still upset about one of the answers. It was Vader in the WCW championship when he never actually held the big gold belt.
Go back and listen to it, which you never do.
I do. I listen. I actually listen. You know what I listened to? I went back to the archives, and I listened to our episode with Bruce Pritchard.
Huh?
Yeah. I listened. Oh. I went to the AEW episode that we did on Thursday. Listened back to that. Listened back to the TJ Crawford episode before that. And then I listened to Bruce Pritchard in the archives. Great interview.
Damn podcast knows more about
stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Tonight.
That's right. Me and Bruce are like this.
I thought you weren't corporate anymore.
Nope. He lied.
We're still friends.
All right. Well, SummerSlam's shaking up to be a humdinger that we get to pick in a couple weeks. So, Tony, get your fucking picking hat on, buddy.
What are the standings, Matt? Do you have those?
I do have the standings right now. I'm atop at 99 and 42.
99!
42. 5 games ahead of you. Kevin sitting in the back. He can see Tony's crack. 7 games behind his ass. 99 and 42 is Matt. Dun 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 dun. Bum ba dum bum bum ba dun 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 dun. SummerSlam, August 22nd. We're gonna make some picks. Tony's gonna get so upset. He's gonna call us some dicks.
Wait, SummerSlam's on a Saturday?
23rd, whatever. We got 5 matches so far, although Braun Strowman versus The Fiend is not official yet.
I'm predicting I'm going 5-0.
There will be more than 5 matches, Tony.
All right, but as of right now, I'm going 5-0.
We have no women's matches announced yet. They're doing a
them off my TV.
No, they're doing a cross promotion battle royal to find out who wrestles Bayley at SummerSlam this Friday night on SmackDown.
Tri branded, baby.
How do you feel?
It means
about
that women from all 3 brands can compete, Tony.
Well, whoopty fucking do.
Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton, the Street Profits against Andrade and Angel Garza, and Apollo
Crews. They're still around? Are you serious? The Street Profits and the fucking Theories and the Garzas and the Andrades.
Theory is not around.
Wait, they're not on Underground?
They're fighting since like fucking January. When is this shit gonna end? Are you fucking kidding me now?
You fucking dickhead.
What the fuck, dude?
I'm just reading what
I understand. I'm not trying to kill the messenger, but fuck you, dude. Like, seriously, why are you telling me this shit?
You're not excited about Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton? That's a marquee match, baby.
You're fucking ruining this show for me. I'm really getting fucking annoyed now.
Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton.
No, all right. I'm fine with that. Fucking Andrade hand jobs. Fucking Jesus, really?
Tony, they worked an angle on Twitch.
Oh, on Twitch.
Where Bianca Belair broke into Zelina Vega's house and beat the shit out of her.
She brought the hurt business into Zelina Vega's Las Vegas.
Is this going to be like one of those fucking theatrical presentations? Are there going to be monsters in the garbage? Are they going to be fucking throwing bowling balls at each other's dicks? Like, what? Is Bianca Belair going to fucking whip her hair back and forth and hit everybody with it? Like, what's happening here?
Maybe.
Seriously, what the fuck is going on?
Well, Tony,
you know
just,
what? It's a Raw Underground match, and I hope fucking 3 of them die. There you go.
All right. Well, if you want to cleanse the palate before SummerSlam, the biggest NXT TakeOver, TakeOver 30.
That's right.
Adam Cole and Pat McAfee, baby.
Big time. Big time main event. Headlines anywhere in the world.
Yeah, as you would say. Main event in any arena in the United States.
You both so much. This is your fault.
I'm intrigued by this, to be honest with you. I didn't watch NXT because I was invested in AEW for the potential post-game show.
So Underground is a big bag of douche, but you're fucking enthralled by Pat McAfee and Adam Cole?
Did I say enthralled? Did I say enthralled? I said intrigued. I didn't say enthralled.
Come on, man.
I'm intrigued by this. He's got a following, and if he wants to be a wrestler, who are we to deny his dream?
I will deny his dream.
All right, beautiful. Yeah.
He's fucking garbage, and
he
sucks.
Is hot garbage.
And this is the best thing you can do for Adam Cole. Come on.
After he loses the title in an awesome match to Keith Lee, he's stuck with fucking Pat McAfee.
Longest reigning NXT world champion.
I love it. This will get him some mainstream coverage, baby. He'll be on ESPN. he'll be on First Take.
Here's my question.
Mainstream coverage, fucking going up to the main fucking roster.
Tony, what have they done with people that have come up to the main roster? Garbage town. Garbage town. Clown show.
He's fucking, he will make a name for himself. If he goes up there and he doesn't make a name for himself, that's on him. Yes, Matt.
How would Adam Cole fare in the underground?
Oh, my God. Fucking underground champion Adam Cole. You know what happens when you win the underground championship? You get Shane McMahon's white tennis shoes. That's what happens.
So you get shoes instead of a belt.
Yes, and you tie them around your neck so when you walk in, because you know what that means, right? Remember when we were fucking kids?
You throw them over power lines?
Yes, exactly. So when you got the fucking shoes on the power line, you were the baddest motherfucker on the block. And that's what's going to happen to Adam Cole. He's going to get them fucking white kicks over his neck, and he's going to be like, try me, bitches. He's going to eliminate fucking MVP's group, whatever they're called, the Hot Take or whatever the fuck they were. He's going to eliminate fucking Vega and Andrade and Banade. They're all going to show up, and he's going to knock them all down. He's going to beat up Babatunde, Mama Hunde, and all those guys. The fucking ninjas are going to come out. This ain't the fucking Wednesday show, dude. You don't have to raise your hand. What's wrong with you?
Because if we talk over each other, you can't hear.
I don't care. I'm on a fucking roll. Adam Cole for fucking Raw Underground Champion. Fucking book it. Book it, baby. On the fucking beach in Atlantic City. Fuck it.
Do you think Adam Cole could handle this new faction that has been showing up on SmackDown burning things?
Fuck, dude, as much as I love Raw Underground, I fucking hate that shit. What is that shit, dude? Seriously. Seriously.
It's retribution, Tony.
Retribution for who? For what?
We don't know yet.
Swimmin? Are we finally going to get the friggin' four horsewomen? Are they pissed off that they don't have fucking belts anymore? Fuck them all, dude. Seriously.
Kevin, you have a pretty good finger on the pulse of pro wrestling. What do you hear about this group?
I don't hear much, Matt. I've heard that whoever these people are aren't who they're going to be, and they don't really have a plan. That's what I've read. I think it was Ringside News. But I'll tell you what, it would make me look like a genius if it was what I think it is what I've been saying for a long time, is a lot of these guys that got cut and went to Impact then come back to WWE as the retribution. Like your Eric Youngs, like your EC3s, like your Brian Myers, like these guys, and maybe a couple of the women that got cut. That's the ideal thing for me. I don't think it's going to be that, but it would make me look like a goddamn genius if it did turn out that way.
Well, I know Eric Young signed a long-term deal, and I don't think Brian Myers has wrestled yet, right? So what's the point of the vignettes?
No, I mean, they'll be there. They'll do their cup of coffee, and depending on how long this retribution angle goes before they're unveiled, you could have anyone be them until the unveiling. So I'm telling you, it's my conspiracy theory that I think is still legit, is go to Impact, don't sign with AEW, you'll be able to come back, and we'll work you in somewhere. And I think that's what it is. I think that's why these guys played it safe and went to Impact. I could be shooting darts with a blindfold on. But
it's going to be aces and eights. It's going to be D'Lo Brown shows up, and then it's going to be fucking Bully Ray.
See, the worst thing it could possibly be is just a bunch of no names from NXT. That would be like the worst thing ever.
Well, I would equate that the same way if it was a bunch of no name guys who were released and they weren't doing anything in WWE to begin with. And then just
if you have a good spokesperson, like we saw with Nexus, right? Like, if you have a good leader and a good mouthpiece, which EC3 could be with his new look, then you have Brian Myers, Eric Young. I forget a couple of the women that were let go. Sarah Logan's pregnant. But one like Crazy Mary Dobson, whatever, right? That's her name. I think it could work, whether or not that's the way they want to go. And I'm sure Impact would be like, all right, cool. We were doing fine before you guys came in. We'll do fine without you. So, that's just me playing conspiracy, wishful thinking guy. I have no idea what it's going to actually end up to be, though. So.
I'm going to guess it's going to be a big letdown.
That's probably the most accurate statement ever said, ever.
That's what I'm going to guess.
Unlike Raw Underground, which is going to be fucking fantastic for ratings.
That's the biggest letdown ever, by the way, what you just said.
No. Shane McMahon is a fucking moneymaker. They don't say here come the money for nothing.
Yeah, let's put the Viking Raiders versus Babatunde in Fraggle Rock, and let's just let them.
Yeah, fuck it, and have some sexy women dancing in the background. I'm about it.
You can get off that.
Tony, I just want to ease your concerns. Tanahashi, he does not have COVID-19.
I know. Have you seen his fucking before and after pictures? My man's in some fucking wicked shape.
I did. And if you've been keeping tabs on New Japan.
Yes, Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi and fucking, who's the other guy?
Big Tom?
Yes, fucking Big Tom, dude. Never openweight six-man titles.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes, that?
But
there is the tension that they've been trying to build where you think Tanahashi. You know,
tension?
The Tanahashi Ibushi split was coming, did not happen.
Because they're friends, bro.
They teased it. They teased it very well over these last couple shows.
So fucking Ibushi's pissy at Tanahashi.
They were doing something where Tanahashi was continuously getting beat down and Ibushi was either not getting in the ring to help him or hesitating to kick him in the face at the urging of Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi.
I don't like Tai Chi. Fuck him.
But eventually, the last event they held with the crowning of the open six-weight tag team champions.
Yes, the open six-weight.
Open neverweight. Ibushi.
The Lucha Underground Monday Night Raw Hurt Business. Tennis shoes championship.
Ibushi finally came to, and him and Tanahashi were good, and they'll be challenging your boys at the summer struggle show.
Is that in Atlantic City? Matt?
No, it's at the baseball stadium.
Abu
is right. So back to your point, Tony. Big Ibushi. Tom, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi are the never openweight six-man tag team champions, beating Okada, Sho, and Toriyano in the finals in an excellent match.
How the fuck does Yano make it to the finals, dude?
Yano's in the fucking G1 every year, bro. He finds a way. Yano's been around for a very long time.
I know. He's a fucking silly man.
On the U.S. soil, the New Japan Cup U.S. tournament started. Kenta beat Carl Fredericks in an awesome match. Jeff Cobb.
Is Carl Fredericks still a young boy, or is he
He's no longer a young lion.
Okay.
Jeff Cobb defeated Tonga Leo from the Gorillas of Destiny. The worst match of the night, to be honest with you. It just felt like it never got started. Tama Tonga beat Brody King in what I thought was a really fun match. And yeah. David Finley beat Chase Owens. So we got Kenta, David Finley, Tama Tonga, and Jeff Cobb as your final four for this U.S. New Japan Cup tournament. And the winner will get a shot at John Moxley, who is the current New Japan Pro Wrestling U.S. champion.
You wouldn't know it. But he is.
They can't get him over there, man. They announced the G1 dates, too. G1 Climax 30 from September 19th to October 18th. But they have not announced the participants yet.
So, Matt, is this U.S. Cup thing, is that going to lead to a number one contender for Mox? Or
yes.
Is
whoever wins the U.S. Cup gets the first title shot against Moxley.
And that would that be held in the States? Is that what you just said or no?
They have not said where it would be, but I think it would make sense to do that because Moxley is in the States and they can get him out to California.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So
now would you take the belt off him though? Is the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would too.
Depends
on
how
fucking meaningless anyway.
What happened?
That U.S. championship is completely meaningless.
Why?
It just is. Like, they brought it in. They don't do shit with it. And then, I don't know. It just feels like it's getting fucking tossed around. New Japan, I find, has way too many fucking meaningless belts right now. Seriously.
How do you feel about the King of Pro Wrestling Provisional Championship that we will get on the end of August?
From New Japan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, another championship. That's great. Everybody gets a belt. Fucking going, does Oprah Winfrey run New Japan?
No.
That's right.
No, Oprah Winfrey. Wait,
so going. I've heard about this belt. What is this belt supposed to signify? Is it just another championship that, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I can understand New Japan having more championships because they're more sport. So why not? But what is the belt supposed to be?
I can't. Essentially, it is a belt. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's like every match is to have a stipulation voted on by the fans.
That's right. Oh, fuck that. Yeah, you're right. Fuck. Nope. Not buying it, Matt. Nope.
Nope.
I'm checked out. Checked out of this already.
No. Well, at Summer Struggle, we will find out. Summer Struggle.
No.
That's the next big show. It's Evil against Naito.
Nope.
Takahashi against Ishimori. Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. against Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi. Shingo defends his Never Openweight Championship against Minoru Suzuki.
Okay, this is a good show.
That's not bad.
Master Wato.
Yes.
Takes on Kanemura. And he turned on me, Kev. He came around. He's really making the gimmick work now. These last four shows, he's been awesome. And then...
Don't sleep on the Twato.
It's a Wato. And then the four-way match to determine the first ever King of Pro Wrestling tournament will happen. So,
Is this going to be in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia?
No, it will not. Your eight participants are Okada.
Kev, what is this for?
The King of Prussia Tennis Shoes Championship?
Yeah, but come on, the gimmick.
I don't know. What
are you going to be able to say?
I don't know, man.
I'm the king of Japanese pro wrestling. I stole your gimmick, fucko.
That's good. I forgot. You deserve that one.
Here are your eight participants. Okada takes on Yujiro Takahashi. Kojima takes on El Desperado. Toriyano takes on Bushi. And Sho takes on Sonata.
Good. Sho's going to win. Sho's going to win the whole fucking thing.
And then he will
say, hey, show me your belt. And he's going to go, here you go.
Show's gonna win.
Now,
Show's gonna win and become
just so you know,
the king.
He has to defend it for the rest of the year, and whoever has the title at the end of 2020 will be declared the king of pro wrestling.
Oh, God. So this is like a fucking awful tournament. So he's not even gonna be the king if he wins the tournament?
If he will for August 29th, but if he loses it in October, he's not the king anymore.
So if you hold this until December, do you get a shot at something in January at Wrestle Kingdom?
It doesn't say. It's a great question. I don't think they've thought that far ahead.
Fuck this.
And Kevin's boy, Gabriel Kidd, he took a bunch of L's during all these shows.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Kevin, you watch Impact this week?
I did watch Impact.
Quick synopsis, thoughts, share with us. I like the Rich Swann thing they did.
Little storyline. He retired, but then Eric Young came out and beat him up again with the chair, and then they did like the whole like gimmick where like everyone, like all the baby faces came out and like clapped him out, and then once he got to the top, Eric Young came out again and beat him up, and it took 12 minutes for all the baby faces to get up there to save him and ran him off. Wrestle House is like my favorite thing right now. It's like without a doubt the most entertaining, unique, corny, but like in a good way, corny. And you're letting a lot of these characters that you, like, I really didn't know who they were until Wrestle House, like Shine. I think like Kylie Rae, Tony, your girl, Smiley Kyrie. I think she's a star. I think she's incredible. You got guys like Ace Romero on there. Tommy Dreamer does a good job as the host. Johnny Bravo is good. Taya is good. It's just a fun, like, corny little segment, but it serves its purpose. Johnny Swinger is hysterical. It's good. And then of course you had I'm not sure if that was this week or last week, the Motor City Machine Guns promo segment where they talked, and the North come out and just completely go ham on them, and All Ego Ethan Page is a super nut job, and that's actually another little story, potentially a interpromotional battle between the North and FTR.
Yeah, I don't know how far that goes, but it's interesting.
Impact continues to be. And I like watching it on Twitch because it's readily available and it's free and it's awesome. And if I had known that a long time ago, which I probably did, I would have been watching every week. Fala and TJP had a good match. It's just a great show.
And if you want to keep up the tabs with Impact Wrestling, follow us at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Kevin does an amazing job Tuesday night with the live tweeting, and he gets a lot of action, and he gets a lot of love from a lot of these Impact guys. So support them. They do put on an excellent show. And not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday and the week after that, they're doing a two-week special called Emergence, where Deonna Purrazzo is going to defend her championship against Jordan Grace. The North is going to challenge the Motor City Machine Guns for their titles, and much more. I'm sure we'll see some more with the Eddie Edwards and the Eric Young stuff, and EC3 and Moose. So a lot of good stuff going on over at Impact. I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah, and it was actually funny because my power came back on like right at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. Nice. So I was like just in time to watch Impact, and I wasn't in my tweet zone, so to speak, because I was just like out of it. But I got in there and got a little love from Kylie. But the week before, man, we were on fire with Heath getting involved and Moose getting involved and all these great guys getting involved in the live tweets. So follow us at Wizards Podcast. I tried to do it on Dynamite too for Wednesday because I know you didn't have power, but that didn't go very well. So
all right, we can try again this week.
That's right.
Do you guys want to take a break? Because we still need to talk a little bit, some sad news, and then get into our games, of course.
Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll do all that. But Kevin, what do we always say?
Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Hold on. Moment. Time. Like tears.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown, your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Everybody grab somebody. Everybody grab somebody. Let us all have a good time.
We're going to take this time to thank those that support us over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you enjoy what you're listening to and you have a couple extra bucks, sign up to our Patreon and support the show. We use that money to buy new equipment, keep the website updated, make sure you have tons of space for our huge archive catalog, and so much more. So a couple bucks really goes a long way for the Shining Wizards. It helps us give you guys a better product. So patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We're going to thank those that are our Patreon producers, and we're going to start with our friend TJ Vegas, Mr. Matthew Birch. He's the true Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine, and if you're looking for somebody with a wealth of independent wrestling knowledge, especially from the Pittsburgh area, I highly suggest you follow True Prince of Pro. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Please check that out. Michael Hammond, he's on the list. Thomas Copps, the Moot Spock.
Mott!
Jay Kopp, big cop of pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, the only person on that show worth supporting. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore. Mr. Mark Parloni, celebrating a birthday. Mark, happy birthday. Sorry we missed it this week. Christine Friesendorf, Matt Mellinger, Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Sean Calejo, Sean Toe, Mr. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. It's a local brewing company here in northern New Jersey in the Bergen County area. If you are in Hackensack, check them out. They have some outdoor seatings, and they do package goods to go. Elementary.com. It's ALEMENTARY.com. Check them out. Kate Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. If you're looking for a jingle for your podcast, for your business, Kate is the girl to go to. Tony really puts her over big. You got anything in the hopper for Kate tonight, Tony?
Yes, Kevin. Yes, for Kevin, I have tons of things in my hopper. He can come get them out with his fingers if he wants later. But as for Kate, if you got anything to promote, and I mean anything and everything, Kate is your woman. Go over to ondeckic.com. You know what? Follow her on Twitter, too. She's pretty goddamn witty. But you got shit to plug. You got shit to promote. You got shit you want to put out there. Kate is the woman for your shit. Put that on a T-shirt, goddammit. Kate will promote anything for you. She'll hook you up with some jingles. She'll get you fucking professional shit put together, like PowerPoints, presentations, all that good stuff. Kate is your woman. Get on it. Get her to get in your corner, and you will not be disappointed. Thank you, and continue, Matt.
Anthony and Danny Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. Miss Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. And, of course, last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Kevin.
I put my all into that one. That
I
was
did.
Very...
I liked it.
I did, dude. I'm sorry. I corpsed a little bit on that one. That was good.
Love that guy.
Take your hat, take off your feet.
Yes, that is a little drink of wine by the recently deceased Kamala. That's unfortunately, Mr. James Harris, Kamala, the Ugandan giant, he had COVID. And he was admitted to the hospital Wednesday, and then he had cardiac arrest yesterday, and unfortunately he passed. So another one of our childhood favorites gone way too soon. He was only 70, let's talk a little Kamala.
I gotta tell you, though, for 70 years old, for all the health conditions he had, it's a blessing that he was with us for 70 years, because he's been in some bad shape for a long time, and those of you who have been with us from the very beginning, we always used to kind of poke fun at Kamala. He lost a foot, and then he lost another foot, and it was kind of like a silly little thing, but then it was kind of turning tragic and sad. And there were a whole bunch of things where he was complaining about getting screwed out of money, you know, to help him out with his medical care and his surgeries and whatnot. So, upbeat guy, seemed like a nice guy from all accounts, but unfortunate what, you know, what he wound up succumbing to. So,
and
James,
what's a shame about this is that I feel like a lot of fans won't appreciate what Kamala did for like the wrestling boom in the forget what he did in like Memphis, forget what he did like in like 92 and then 96 in WCW, just like that initial, that big time run with Hogan and just being like a legit monster, like scary, like legit scare your kids heel was just so monumental. His matches with Andre, Matt, like just so legit. And then I feel like his later career, which was still very impressive, is going to overshadow what he actually meant to the success of, you know, the WWF in the 80s. And like I said, even like Memphis, and God, guy was a god in that, like an believable heel in Memphis. It's just
body slammed Andre. And I'd say this much.
I saw that making the rounds today.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was pre.
I want to say that was Memphis.
Yeah, it was pre.
I think
Mid-South, maybe.
Maybe it was Mid-South.
Pre-Hogan. So there's a lot of people out there who think that Hogan is the only person that's body slammed Andre, and that's the story you've been given since 1987. That's the shit you've been fed. But if you really, Andre's left his feet more times than you actually could think of, and the Kamala body slam is one of the more impressive ones.
Yeah, he got up there for Kamala, and Kamala fucking slam. It was a nice slam, dude. That's some nice footage they got right there. One thing that I remember as a kid, they were teaming Kamala up with Sika. And my first like impressions with Kamala, he would fucking go to the top and splash somebody off the top rope. And they would fucking beat up jobbers like every week on TV. Kamala would be fucking like, Sika would be in the ring tagging Kamala. Kamala go up to the top with the big splash. And I remember they did a segment with Jack Tunney because the fans were like, you got to ban Kamala from doing this because he's really injuring people. And Jack Tunney was like, well, if I ban him, I have to ban Ricky Steamboat from doing the crossbody. I have to ban Jimmy Snuka. I have to ban the Macho Man. He's like, I can't just ban Kamala. So Kamala's allowed to go to the top rope as long as he doesn't, you know, as long as he doesn't make the five count, he can go up there and do that. So that was some scary shit to me as a kid because that motherfucker climbing the ropes, I was like, oh no, he's going to kill somebody.
Was Fuji their manager?
Yes. Yes.
He was, right?
Because there was also an interview they did where Fuji was feeding Kamala. I know Kamala ate a chicken on like Tuesday Night Titans or whatever, you know, the McMahon Lord Alfred Hayes show was. But there was one where it was Sika. He was giving Sika a fish, and Kamala's losing his shit in the background because he wanted to eat the fish too. And he's yelling and screaming and smacking his belly and trying to reach over Mr. Fuji. Good stuff. And there's another one, if you can find it. I'm sure it's on the network somewhere. There were outtakes of one of the interview sessions that me and Gene used to do to hype up the local shows. And it has Kamala actually like in his normal voice fucking singing. It's hysterical. Good shit from James Harris. Very good shit. Go out and watch some Kamala stuff and celebrate his life.
100%. And like a guy who's like, whatever, I'm what, 37 now. So like my first like real time introduction to Kamala like was probably when he came back in like 92 or to feud with the Undertaker as like this big like monster, like let's feed him to the Undertaker guy. And it was such a good run, like his stuff with the caskets, being afraid of the caskets, being afraid of this and that, and then eventually turning babyface with Slick as his manager, the Reverend Slick. So that's where I really like, that's like real time Kevin got to know who Kamala was. But then of course, you know, you have Blockbuster Video and Palmer Video, and you go back and watch all these VHS tapes of Kamala doing incredible things. And then in 96 he showed up in WCW as part of the greatest stable in the history of pro wrestling, the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, you do like the Dungeon of Doom.
Ah, I love me some Dungeon of Doom. Didn't last long there, but he was part of that whole, like triple threat of terror cage match with the Dungeon. It was like Kamala, like Shark and Zodiac and Barbarian and Ming and Zeus. Ah, I love Kamala, man.
So just Just a little backstory. He started wrestling in the late 70s, and he went by Sugar Bear Harris until he got to Continental, where Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler decided to name him Kamala. Kim Mala, not Kamala, Kim, K-I-M-A-L-A, based off of a painting by Frank Frazetta. And he was supposed to be the bodyguard for Idi Amin, and that was the gimmick that they gave him. And he is probably one of the, when you talk about the territories, he went territory to territory, essentially, and he was always the big draw. He was infused with Andre, Junkyard Dog. Every time he came back to the WWF, it was him against Hogan. He did something with Jake. He went down to Texas. He feuded with the Von Erichs. Clearly, he worked with Lawler in the USWA. He went to AWA, and he worked with Slaughter. I mean, he was just a big guy, and he worked everywhere, and he really just made a great career out of his life. And then he took the money he made from working with Hogan, and he bought tractor trailers, and he was a long haul truck driver too.
Truck driver, yeah. Isn't there like a story where like he actually had to deliver to Madison Square Garden, and like he bumped into Vince McMahon, and like Vince McMahon didn't even recognize him, and he was like embarrassed to run into him. I think that's in his book.
Oh, really? That's hysterical.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And he does have a book, Kamala Speaks, the official autobiography of WWE wrestler James Kamala Harris. And you can get it over at his website, kamalaspeaks.com. There's also his music is over there, over 100 songs. Just a tough one. You saw him pop up at like the Gimmick Battle Royals, and he was involved in the TNA, Jay Lethal, what the fuck's her name? SoCal Val wedding?
Yeah.
Yes,
well, he was there, yeah.
Yeah. Just a great, you know, go back, find him on Saturday night's main event or some of those house shows on the network. He was good for a big man, and he wrestled like, you know, a Ugandan giant. He didn't do a lot of technical wrestling, a lot of brawling styles. So, yeah, it's another rough one. It sucks.
And his moon belly figure is worth $20,000 bazillion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably one of the most expensive action figures ever.
Yeah, so there you go.
So, have a little drink of wine for Kamala tonight, James Harris. And, you know, head over to his website. And if you want to check out his book, I'm sure his widow can, you know, could use all the help from a couple book sales. So, you know, and you get to read the story. And that story that Kevin just told about him running into Vince McMahon at the Garden sounds super interesting, and I would love to read about that. And I'm a mark for wrestling books, so.
Not sure. I'm going to reread the Stu Hart book. I pulled that out of the woodwork.
Yeah, nice. Stu Hart.
I was talking about, I don't really read a lot, but I found the Stu Hart book, and I read it. I think I read it like 3/4 of the way through, and then I just stopped. So I'm going to reread that bad boy.
I stretched Jim Neidhart in the dungeon. Yeah.
That's a really good Stu.
I grabbed him by his beard, and I grabbed his wiener.
All right. That's a really bad Stu.
Bad Stew. That's my gimmick. Bad Stew.
Bad news. Stu Bennett.
No, just Bad Stew. Fucking Stu Hart just saying really inappropriate shit. I gave Helen a Cleveland steamer.
Hey, Bad Stew. Thoughts on Marty Jannetty?
Marty wasn't the only time Marty was killing gay guys.
We have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Is it the Rangers getting the first pick in the draft?
It is not. Don't give a shit about hockey.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's fuck hockey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
According to PW Insider Elite, Ring of Honor has plans to resume production on August 22nd and 23rd in Baltimore, Maryland. They will begin taping TV and adapt the bubble strategy to produce new content. So that is good news for Ring of Honor getting back into the game. They have not done a show or taped live TV since this all began in March.
In the words, Vincent? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these guys got to go down and live in a bubble in Baltimore?
They're gonna try the bubble strategy.
Oh, fuck. Jake Gyllenhaal style?
I mean, they ain't doing anything else. The Ring of Honor's been paying them. Sinclair's been paying them. So let's get it.
I like it.
Let's get it, donkeys. Like it. What are we doing first tonight, boys?
What do we always do first?
Kevin's top five list?
Let's do it.
Top five list.
and gentlemen, you are tuning into the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast in a very special segment we like to call KJG's Top 5. Very original, very clever name. All right, boys, are you ready for this one?
Oh, we're always ready, Kev. What you got for us this week, my man?
These are the top 5 wrestling talk show segment moments.
Moments. I like it.
And I'm going to say this, it doesn't go from, it's from 1990 on. So eliminate all your Piper's Pits for the most part. Eliminate them all. We're going from 1990 on. We're talking like gimmick setups in the ring, like, you know, your Brother Love show, like your Peep show, like your VIP lounge, like your barber shop. We're talking all these different segments that happen. There are 5. I probably could have done a million, but these are the 5 that stuck out to me. So there's a little personal bias here. A little bit that probably will be argued, but there are 5 top show talk show segment gimmicks that had great moments on them. And let's start it off.
Maestro, a little background music, please.
May I go first?
Yeah, sure. I was going to ask you if you want to go first. Absolutely.
I will take HBK throwing Marty Jannetty through the glass at the barbershop.
Yeah, that's the answer. That's number one. I wasn't expecting it any other answer first from either one of you. So that's number one. Marty Jannetty getting thrown through the window with the Rockers breakup at the barbershop.
Tony, I pass the ball to you.
I'm going to go Undertaker locking the Ultimate Warrior in the casket on the funeral parlor.
Damn, T-Dom coming in hot with number 2. On the list, the funeral parlor, Ultimate Warrior getting locked in the casket, and the WWE officials not caring enough at all and not knowing how to open stuff. So that was big. So that's number 2, right? You guys are going in order here.
Can I get Earthquake smushing Hulk Hogan on the Brother Love show?
Matt, not only can you get Earthquake smushing Hulk Hogan, you can go in order number 3. On the Brother Love show.
Now this gets bad.
Yes, now it's going to get hard.
Inspiring the Write a Letter to Hulk Hogan campaign so we can get you on our merchandise list. And Tugboat Thomas becoming a very big fixture. So that's number 3. These 2 are going to be really hard, by the way.
I'm thinking because it's Kevin, there's got to be a Miz TV moment in there somewhere. I just can't think for the life of me.
You would think that there isn't.
Really?
No, and I probably could have done a little more research to find one, but there's been so many of them. Like I'm not going to go through like Miz TV. I'm not going to go through like Moment of Bliss. I'm not going to go through like all like the kind of current ones, like I'll tell you this. The most recent one I have on here out of the last 2 is 2008.
2008.
But other than that, that's the only hint I'll give.
Huh. Well, who else?
What other? And there's only 2, so.
I'm going to stay in the bar. This is a long shot. I'm going to stay in the. Oh, wait. And you said these are really rough.
I mean, it was really, really well done, though.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a stupid one. I'm thinking Sid on the barbershop when he fucking threw the can of shaving cream and it exploded in his face and he was cutting his promo that he rules the world.
Nah, that's funny. And that was good, but it's not.
Yeah, not. I didn't think it was.
And even my, see, I'm not like, I'm looking over my honorable mentions and I'm looking over my top 5 and it could be interchangeable, I guess, but. I think once you hear the 2 that I have left, I think you guys are going to agree with them.
I'm going to say Chris Jericho smashing Shawn Michaels' head into the Geritron 2000.
Shining Wizards Matt.
Oh, Jesus.
You hit number 4.
Jeez Louise.
On the list.
That's
Chris Jericho with the ultimate heel turn. Slamming HBK's head right into that Jared. Matt, did you look that up at all or no?
No, that's literally the only, I can't tell you another show that I know anything about that took place between 2000 and 2008. So that's the only one I know.
That's number 4. You guys are killing it as a team. I'll tell you that much.
God. I feel like a failure now because I don't.
I know nothing after this. Like, I.
This one's going to be the hardest one. And it might not even deserve to be on the list, but I think it was really cool. I'll give you a year.
No, no. Let me ask you this.
I don't even know if I want to do that.
Does it involve the Peep Show?
It does not.
All right. Then I'm fucking out, dude. Matt, if you got something, go for it.
Oh, boy. Was the Jericho Shawn Michaels thing 2008?
Yeah, it was 2008.
All right.
Pretty sure. At least that's what my research told me.
Let's think. Let's think. Let's think.
And there's no Miz TV. There's no Peep Show.
We're going.
This wasn't
around. I'll give you a decade. We're in the 90s for this one.
Okay.
Oh, fuck me running.
The 90s. Was it William Shatner on the King's Court?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I would have picked Tiny Tim over that one. I forgot about the King's Court, though, overall. Matt,
was there a memorable Piper's Pit? Maybe something with Captain America or Mr. America? Not a Piper's Pit.
I mean, there may have been, but it wasn't. It's not.
Is
it a Piper's Pit?
But that would have been in the 2000s.
We're going 90s here, Tony. You said it was in the 90s, the decade.
There was no Piper's Pits in the 90s?
Not with Mr. America.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, fuck me running. Yeah, this is a tough one, dude.
I'll tell you a couple that didn't make the list. There was another funeral parlor where the Undertaker turned babyface on Jake the Snake, and then Jake the Snake slammed his finger in the
casket,
and that was one. And then there was another highlight reel where John Cena made his debut on Raw as a draft as the WWE champion when Batista was already there as the WWE champion or as the World Heavyweight Champion. So I thought that was a very good moment. But this is – all right. This is a talk show that you might not even really remember. Like, it had, like, a couple great moments, but it was hosted by one of the greatest superstars of all time, probably arguably the best in-ring performer of all time.
It's not a WWE CW Abraham Washington show segment, is it?
Tony, that would be number 1A. No. I don't even know if you guys remember this segment.
Is it the Heartbreak Hotel?
It is the Heartbreak Hotel.
What?
I know
a couple good segments on this one.
I know nothing because Marty came out during like a Raw interview.
No, Marty came out. Yeah, and on
is this
Raw,
when he introduced
with
Sid
with his hoodie?
Yeah, is this when he introduced Sid as his bodyguard?
No, no.
Diesel as his bodyguard.
No.
Tony, you got anything?
I'm looking it up and I'm not finding anything.
All right. Well, before you fake it out, I guess I'll just tell you.
Wait, there's one with Owen Hart, but I don't think that was memorable for any reason, was it?
No. All right. The year is 1994.
Okay. Yeah, 94.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, brings back the Undertaker on the Heartbreak Hotel. It's not the Undertaker.
Well, you know what? That's a good call.
It's a good one.
I have no problems with that one. That's a good call.
Under Faker. I like that.
Brian Lee, I was choosing between that or there was a segment where like, you know how Tatanka was accusing Lex Luger of selling out to DiBiase, but it ended up being Tatanka that was the sellout. That was a really fun segment too. But number 5 is The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, bringing back the man he introduced to the world in the first place, The Undertaker, a.k.a. The Underfaker.
I like it, Kevin. Well done. That was a good list.
I really like that one. Very, very happy with that one. That was a good job, buddy. Very good job.
Appreciate it. I mean, you could insert a million more, but I think these are really fun ones that people don't really – I mean, the Rockers was the layup, but the Warrior, the Earthquake – The Jericho, I think, was a great segment. And, of course, you know, DiBiase with the Underfaker.
DiBiase. Mm-hmm.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Let me just make sure I got my...
Oh, my God, it's 9 o'clock already. We're cruising, baby.
Cruising? We're fucking whipping through this shit, man. Well, now that we had the fun part of the evening, now it's time to get to the serious part of the evening.
I'm going to need a couple more of these.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another episode of Can You Beat That? Ladies and gentlemen, returning this week, both worthy contenders. We're trying to find somebody to challenge our champion, Kate the Great.
There's no champion. Get that out of your head. There's no champion. It's a game between us, and somehow we included the outside world into this.
Our first contestant tonight is disgruntled Kevin Garifo. Kevin, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, by the way.
Challenging Kevin this week, Shining Wizards, Matt. Matt, welcome back to the show, buddy. How have you been?
It's good to be back. I have a new strategy. I think I bit off a little more than I could chew the last couple times. So
everyone's got a strategy.
Yeah, you have to have a strategy. Otherwise, Kevin, you end up a fucking loser. Right.
Yeah, fucking losers all around, but not our crew today because we're going to get a winner. Folks, you know the rules. I'm going to pose a question to someone. I'm going to tell them how many possible answers there are to that question. They're going to give me a number to tell me how many answers they can get right. It's up to their opponent to decide if they can beat that or if they're going to challenge them to answer. The person answering the question, if they get all the answers right that they said they could, they'll get a point. If they get even one wrong, they lose the point. It goes to their opponent. First person to two wins. We got two great questions and one that's going to numb your nuts. I got three possible questions today, and I'm going to give it to the sore loser first. Kevin, I got three topics for you. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'm going to put away.
I'm in a no-win situation, by the way.
I'm putting away the all-time tiebreaker. We are not playing the third question. I'm going to roll it over till next week. But, Kevin, here's your topics to choose from. The first topic is Ring King. It has 15 possible answers. The second question is, I see Prince. That has 10 possible answers. And the third question is, three's a goner. That one has 16 possible answers. Kevin, which topic are you going for?
What's the third one?
Three's a goner. There's 16 possible answers.
And the second one is I see Prince.
I see Prince. That has 10 possible answers.
And the first one is King something?
Ring King. That has 15 possible answers.
Let's go Ring King.
We are going with Ring King. Kevin, since its pay-per-view start in 1993 up until this year, there have been 15 King of the Ring winners. Kevin, how many King of the Ring winners can you name? And no, we're not counting the King of the Ring from 1991 and earlier. We are only counting from its pay-per-view inception until the modern day this year. 15 possible winners. Kevin, how many can you name?
I can name 5.
Matt, Kevin says he can name 5 King of the Ring winners. The question to you is, can you beat that?
I can name 7.
Kevin, Matt says he can name 7. Kevin, the question back to you is, can you beat that?
I can name 9.
Matt, Kevin can name 9. Question back to you. Can you beat that?
Thank you.
We're up to 9. The number is 9. I don't want to rush you, buddy, but I'm going to need an answer.
I can name 10.
Kevin says he can.
I can name 11.
Kevin's back to 11.
Go for it, Kev.
Kevin, the question is, 15 men have won the King of the Ring tournament since it started on pay-per-view in 1993 through the present day. How many do you say you can name? 11?
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm going to stop this music. Whenever you're ready, buddy, I'll start taking your answers. You've got to get 11.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart is 1.
Owen Hart.
Owen Hart is 2.
Mabel.
Mabel is 3.
Steve Austin.
Steve Austin is 4.
97 was Triple H.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, number 5.
98 was Ken Shamrock.
Number 6.
99 was Billy Gunn.
Number 7.
Edge, not going in order yet, but Edge won.
Edge is number 8. You need 3 more.
Wade Barrett.
Bad News Barrett, 9.
William Regal.
William Regal makes 10. Kevin, you need one more to secure the point.
Booker T.
Booker T makes 11. Kevin Garifo is on the board with 1 point. That was nice. I wish I had applause to play. 4 more guys that you missed.
I had two of them.
Take a shot at them.
I think I said Edge.
You said Edge.
Brock.
Brock Lesnar is one of them.
Beat RVD in the finals.
Sheamus.
Sheamus. He was Sheamus on there too. Did Kurt Angle win one?
Kurt Angle did win one. You're missing one.
Kurt Angle, I think it was at that one where he fought like Rikishi in the finals and beat Shane McMahon in a match too, I think.
You went to Boston?
No, I thought there was one in the Meadowlands. The one we're missing is probably Baron Corbin.
Yep, that's the one. Baron Corbin. All right, Matt, it's your turn. Down by 1 point. We've got 2 questions for you to choose from.
All right.
Matt, topics are IC Prince, which has 10 possible answers, or Three's a Goner. That one's got 16 possible answers. Matt, which question do you want to play?
Three's a Goner.
Three's a Goner. Here we go.
No idea what this could be.
At WrestleMania 3. A few of the wrestlers who participated in the show are no longer with us. All 16 right. to be exact. And I'm not talking about managers. I'm not talking about seconds. I'm not talking about announcers. Strictly wrestlers that were involved in matches as participants. 16 gentlemen from WrestleMania 3's card are no longer with us. Matt, how many can you name?
6.
Kevin, Matt says he can name 6. Question to you, Kevin, is can you beat that?
You said no managers, right?
No managers, strictly wrestling participants.
I can do 7.
Matt, Kevin says he can do 7. 16 possible answers. Matt, can you beat that?
I can do 10.
Kevin, Matt says he can do 10 out of 16. Kevin, the question to you, can you beat that?
I don't think I can. So I'll let him do it.
Matt.
I probably could have had more time, but I don't think I can right now.
Matt, from the WrestleMania 3 card, 16 gentlemen who were involved in matches are no longer with us. You said you can name 10 of them. Whenever you're ready, buddy, start giving me your answers.
Andre.
Andre the Giant is 1.
The British Bulldogs.
Davey Boy Smith, Dynamite Kid, that's 2 and 3.
That's a good freaking guess.
Anvil.
Jim Neidhart, number 4.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Savage is number 5. You've got 5 more to go.
King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy, number 6.
Harley Race.
Harley Race, number 7.
Some of my gun.
JYD.
Junkyard Dog, number 8.
Piper and Adonis.
You've got 10. We've got a tie. Ladies and gentlemen.
I also had Tom Zink and Hercules on my list.
All right, you guys want to go for the other 6?
I mean...
I only
came up the Haiti Kid. It's got to be there.
Haiti Kid is on there. That's number 11.
That was the first one I thought of.
Tom Zink.
No. Haiti Kid is not dead. Haiti Kid is still with us.
Who's the other one?
Little Beaver.
Is he dead?
Actually, Little Beaver, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook are all deceased. So there's 3 of them for you. You got 3 more to go.
Tom Zink.
What?
Tom Zink.
I didn't think you were going to get him, but yes. He's one.
Hercules.
Hercules is another one. That's 15.
Who are we missing?
I wouldn't have got half the ones you got.
Danny, no, he's alive.
Yes.
Is it a woman?
No. There were no women's matches on this card.
George Animal Steel? No, he was a manager type.
He was a second.
Yeah.
No longer with us. Unfortunately, not one of the answers.
Is it a Funk? Was there a Funk on WrestleMania 3?
Nope. Anyone?
Big John Studd? No. He wasn't on 3.
I'm going to look it up.
I wouldn't. That's a lot of pressure, man. I wouldn't have got half the ones that Matt got.
Volkov.
Yep. Nikolai Volkov. There were three matches that didn't have deceased participants. Honky Tonk Man versus Jake Roberts, Butch Reed versus Coco Beware, and the Dream Team, Beefcake and Valentine against the Rougeau brothers, although Dino Bravo is no longer with us and Johnny Valiant's no longer with us. But all those participants are still here. So
damn.
That was
very impressive. That went hard with 10. That was good. I had 7 on my list.
Well, you guys are going to fucking really hate me for this one because this one's going to suck. I'm going to flip a bottle cap. Kevin, call heads or tails?
Tails.
Kevin's going to get to choose how many he gets first. Or the tiebreaker.
I don't even know if I like that.
The tiebreaker is called Phil Purview. It's not what you think. We're talking about WWE pay-per-views in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, fuck you.
14 of them have taken place from 1990 till present day. 14, Kevin. Now, if it's a WrestleMania, I need the number of the WrestleMania. If it's any other event, the year will suffice. Actually, you should have to give me the year because it could have been anywhere else. Kevin, out of 14 possible pay-per-views that took place in Philadelphia, either at Wachovia Center, Wells Fargo, the Spectrum, Core States, whatever building you want to call it. These are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WWE pay-per-views. How many can you name, Kev?
0.
I can name 2.
Matt says he can name 2, Kevin.
Knock yourself out, kid.
Oh, fucking A, dude.
In your head?
Off the top of my head?
Matt.
I guess it kind of made it official, I guess. I was just fucking around.
No, you want to go? I mean,
you
Matt.
Go?
You want
to go? Go ahead. You can want to guess? Guess. You going to give us a real number?
I got to think about it. I don't know.
Come on, cat.
Nelly, I mean, I probably know a million of them, but I just don't know that they were there.
Yeah, I told you you guys didn't want to go to the tiebreaker because this is a bitch of a question.
Nah, I mean, Matt's a world traveler. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but
I mean, there's got to be like a moment that's going to trigger it. Like, there's got to be something that just screams Philly at me.
I do like that you're thinking this out. This is good. This is Kevin, the number stands at 2. The question to you, can you beat that? This is the right to face champion Kate the Great.
Shut up.
The loser's going to go back down to the bottom of the ranking system.
There's no ranking system. This is a game between the three of us. That's what it is. It's just a game between us. There's no championship. Next week, I'm doing the questions between you two. There's got to be a WrestleMania, right? There's got to be a Rumble. Okay. I'll try to.
Well, you can't. Matt has 2. You got to go more than 2.
I'll do Royal Rumble. I'll say 3 and I'll just get it wrong. I'll say the Royal Rumble.
No. You don't answer. You got to tell me how many you can get.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
I mean, I'm gonna lose this one anyway. It doesn't matter. So it's
are you saying you can name 3?
Yeah, I'll name 3.
Kevin, Matt, Kevin says he can name 3. Can you beat that?
I can name 4.
We got a game going now. 14 possible answers. Matt says he can name 4. Kevin, question to you. Can you beat that?
No, I'm struggling to name three, so let him go with his four.
Matt, the question to you. APL. 14 pay-per-views under the WWE banner have taken place in the great city of Philadelphia. You said you can name four of them. Matt, whenever you're ready.
WrestleMania 15.
WrestleMania 15, 1999. Austin defeats The Rock.
In Your House, Mind Games.
In Your House 10, Mind Games. At the Core Stage, Shawn Michaels defeats Mankind.
Pull that one from.
ECW is in the front row.
There you go. That was the moment you were thinking about, Kev. Matt, you've got two. You need two more.
SummerSlam 90.
SummerSlam 90. The Warrior defeats Ravishing Rick Rude. You need one more.
Money in the Bank 2013.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Correct. Ding.
Randy Orton wins your Money in the Bank 2013. There you go. There's your four pay-per-views. Matt with a score of 2-1 is your winner. Whew. That was a fucked up question, wasn't it?
How'd you pull the 2013 one out of your...
Rob Van Dam came back in Philadelphia.
So Matt was basing most of his answers on the ECW stuff. That was
that's kind of where I went, but I had no time, and it would take me forever to think of them.
And I had one more written down, and I could be completely off.
Well, there's a Rumble where Bubba Ray came back.
Oh, that was recent too.
And when Rhino, one of I think it was Bubba Ray came back. I think that was a Royal Rumble in like 2016, 2015, 2017, or something like that.
There was a Royal Rumble in 2015, the one that Roman Reigns won.
Yeah, that's when Bubba came back. He was number three.
Matt, what was the other one you were thinking of?
I had Survivor Series 06.
Yes, that was when Batista...
CM Punk. That's a great pay-per-view.
The 2000... you want to keep going, or you want me to...
That's all I had. Those were the five I had written down.
Okay. King of the Ring 1995, where Mabel won. Unforgiven 2000, The Rock defeated The Undertaker, Kane, and Benoit.
This is a terrible time.
The 2004 Royal Rumble, Benoit won. The 2009 Night of Champions, Jeff Hardy defeated CM Punk. 2017 Battleground, Jinder Mahal defeated Randy Orton. The 2018 Royal Rumble, where Asuka won and Shinsuke Nakamura won. 2019 Extreme Rules was Lesnar versus Rollins. And 2020 was the Elimination Chamber where Shayna Baszler won and The Miz and John Morrison won.
Terrible, terrible question. Terrible topic.
Hey, I told you it was a fucking bad one, and I've been holding it for a month now. I'm surprised you guys fucking got it.
If you knew it was so bad, why were you holding on to it so long?
Because that was the tiebreaker, and we never got to a tiebreaker. That's why.
Give me some in-ring stuff, man. Don't give me freaking TV guides and stadiums and...
Now, Matt, the question to you is, will you be challenging Kate this Wednesday for the championship, or are you going to wait till next Monday?
Wait, Wednesday? We're not doing this gimmick on their show.
I will be defending my title next Monday against Kate the Great, yes.
No, nope. not going to allow it. I can't allow it.
The interim champion, I will defend. We will merge them into one. I will bring in the title back to me, and then I can defend it wherever I go.
Nope.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. 2-1, Matt wins this week. Join us again next week where we're going to ask the question, can you beat that? We'll see you next time. Woohoo!
Bush League ass shit right here.
Hey, I got theme songs and an outro, buddy.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Let Kevin dig his own grave.
I didn't lose. Bullshit. No one on this goddamn podcast knows more about professional wrestling than I do.
What?
It's on a 3-game losing streak.
Listen, I named 12 King of the Rings, boys.
Wait, Matt, I'm getting word. From the corporate office, they've released the top three for Can You Beat That? Kate is number one as your champion. Matt's number one and number two with your interim championship. Tony's number three because he hasn't lost in 3 weeks. And Kevin?
Fucking dumb topics that you idiots decide to pose as wrestling questions. And they're not wrestling questions. They're not. Oh, Where did we play T-ball last week? Oh, in the elementary school parking lot. Oh, that's where we did it. How many times did we play? 18. All right, that's great. Where did we play checkers back when we were 7? Oh, my God.
Hey, I didn't hear any complaints when I asked the question about MSG and how many pay-per-views took place there. So,
no, that was a stupid one, too. And again, I had complaints about when I won, about the Vader thing. I didn't think that was accurate.
You also thought Rob Van Dam gave up the WWE Championship the next
time. Well, that's fair. That's,
WWE,
so. That's fair. That's a fair point.
He knows it all, Matt.
Just dumb, dumb, dumb idiot questions that, that, first of all, if KTG was here, she wouldn't have gotten any of them. She wouldn't have gotten 3 King of the Rings, let alone 12, whatever I got. And this venue thing, oh, my God, Philadelphia. Tony, I live in New Jersey. I live in New Jersey. I don't give a shit about
Kevin,
Philadelphia.
Philly. I'll give you the credit, Kevin, with the King of the Ring question. That was some fucking top-notch answering right there. I really thought that you would have pushed harder on the WrestleMania 3. I really thought you would have pushed harder. But Matt, that one coming back.
No, I'm not shitting on Matt at all. That was a great question. But you seem to go to the well with these gimmicks, like, every time. Like, where did these happen? How many people are dead?
Twice. Like, what? Well, I mean, dead? How long? How many? I mean, that's the easy questions. That's like.
But I also feel like a lot of pressure. Like, I'm under time. Like, I'm thinking, and I gotta, like, I got to 7 on my list, but Matt said 10. I was like, all right, I'll let Matt do it. But he pulled the Bulldogs out, which was pretty freaking great. And then
You know what, Kevin? This is Kate calling in.
Get off the freaking phone.
Get off your fucking sour bullshit about this not being a real championship.
Am I not one third of this podcast? Am I not?
You had no complaints about this when you were winning. You're a sore fucking loser. You couldn't handle my strategy. You couldn't handle Matt's strategy. You're sitting there whining about it like a fucking baby.
Your strategy was being a coward. Your strategy was being a coward and not answering anything. All right, you're a coward. You're a fraud. You're nothing. You're a drop on the wrestling trivia radar. You're nothing. Go back.
I'm your fucking champion.
Have your little women's wrestling heels. Trivia game, whatever you want to do. Get off my phone line. Matt, hang up on her right now.
I'm your champion. Get out. You are pissing Cheerios, friend.
No, listen,
you had no problems with the categories that were chosen until you started fucking.
The cat in the background of Matt's photo right now has more credibility than you. Nellie, Aunt Nellie's 3 bean salad knows more about wrestling than you.
Aunt Nellie's 3 bean salad. It's what you're eating for dinner because you don't have the winner's purse. You're just sitting there bitching.
I've got the winner's halibut.
About the category. Like a fucking winner.
I am a born winner. I will live a winner. I will die a winner. You are a coward.
You're a winner. You haven't won in three weeks.
You are no threat to me. You are no threat to me. Matt is no threat to me.
I'm no threat to you.
Ryan is no threat.
I'm the one with the belt.
One of the degeneration goofballs are any threat to me. None of those action figures in the back of Matt are any threat to me. No one is a threat to me. When you ask legit wrestling questions, I will answer all of them 100%.
So get out of my face. Whining about the categories.
Get out of
my
bootleg iPad, iPods. Get out of my bootleg earbuds. Because these are $10 at CVS, and I'll get 20 of them before I bow to you.
You are so full of shit. You had no problems with the categories when you were winning. You're a loser.
You're not
a threat to me because
you're not even a number one contender.
Clearly,
you're not listening to the podcast because I did have a problem with Tony's questions that he asked when I won. So clearly, you just don't give a shit. So get
Kevin,
off.
Don't sit there and talk about how I'm not a threat to you when I'm the champion and the one with the belt.
First of all, there's no champion. You're an idiot.
I'm the champion. I'm Tate the Great. I'm fucking great. You're a sourpuss who just sits there bitching every time you lose, and you're fucking salty, and I'm so glad you finally face Matt next week.
And your little Mark Kingdom and your little Mark with your little Mark dog and your little Mark this and your little Mark that. And then we'll come back and we'll fight.
Women's champions, you forgot Alundra fucking Blaze. I don't want to hear shit about shit if you can't remember Alundra Blaze as a women's champion. You're a sore loser. And I'm bag not wasting chair. Time on fucking little Peabodys like you who just sit there bitching when I have to go prepare to fat
do
face that next
on
week.
The floor like you're like a freaking... Like you're on vacation doing our podcast, sitting on the floor. Like, oh my God, look at my little Mark carpet. Look at my little Mark couch behind me. My little punk Mark Buster dog running around behind me with his penis hanging out everywhere.
She left me. Wow.
Penis hanging out everywhere.
I didn't even get a chance to ask her how it feels to be champ for 3 weeks.
Oh, holy shit.
Hey, look, in fairness, I played once and I lost, so I've got nothing to complain about.
You know what? Maybe next week, Tony, Kevin does the questions, me versus you.
I'm down.
It's only fair that you get a shot at the title.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like I won the Royal Rumble. I'll put my number one contendership on the line against you.
Kevin's going to give us questions as to what pay-per-views took place at the Garden. In Boston,
Minneapolis.
Which ones were held? Which live events were held at the Menin Arena in Morristown, New Jersey, when the business was in the shits and you had to fill up a freaking ice hockey rink to have your shows?
See, but that's why I give you the number, because you guys were playing low with the numbers, and that made sense. Matt didn't think he could name more than four or five.
You know I'm kidding, right? Like, you know this is complete.
Not on.
Joke.
Not on the show,
no.
Dude.
Yeah, Jesus, Kevin, come on, man.
No, I mean, she's a fraud.
You can't make a into it with you and then go. I mean, she's fucking around.
She's a complete fraud. I mean, Matt, I think you're a fraud too. Tony, I think you're like the worst at coming up with questions like this, because you go to your
wait.
Your wish,
how am I a
you
fraud?
You go to your wishing well of, oh, where did this take place? Who's dead? That's like the only things you
how
know.
How am
like,
I a fraud?
You're a fraud, man.
What? Let's go. Show me your work.
What questions did you get? Dead wrestlers? Great.
You had the choice first.
I don't focus on negative.
You had a choice of three questions. I give you the topic and the number of answers.
I don't focus on. Listen, we just lost Kamala. You want me to focus on more dead people? Come on, get out of here. I'm a better person than that.
Man.
Matt, can I say something as we start pulling this into the station?
Please. I'm a bit taken aback by this. I did not see that coming. That was like afraid to. Now, look, I don't want to.
Frauds.
He talks a good game now. First of all, he's not going to. Tomorrow morning, he's not going to remember that he has to make questions for next week. So when we get to the show next week and he doesn't have questions.
Nope. I'm going to do it.
You're going to do
it. Have I not disappointed with the list? Have I not brought a list every week?
The list is. You got to do some research here, buddy.
Hey, can
I? You think I did research for the list?
No, I think he did.
No, I think Kevin's a fraud.
No. Kevin, it's.
I'm going to go slam that Detolf over your head.
Oh, Jesus. You got Kevin angry.
He's not leaving his fucking house. Come on.
He's got his mask, his respirator, his three bean salad. His three bean salad can.
I might, you know what? I'm not against the three bean salad. If he's bringing three bean salad,
bean salad for God's sakes!
I'm a coward in terms of leaving my house.
All right, what were you gonna say? T-Dunk.
Just want to shout out a couple of the shows on the Shining Wizards Network, including Inconclusive Breakdown, Wrestling Night in Canada, Radioactive Metal, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Midnight Jury, whenever they start to decide to do shows again. And, of course, High Spot Podcast. They're back at it. They've been doing shows every week, and they're giving us props. So welcome back, High Spot Podcast.
Kate is still going hot and the hot mic. She says, I'll do the questions next week. He can go suck Brian Myers' dick. He can go make out with Matt Cardona.
Jeez, at the same time?
See, that's what we call lowbrow humor, where you have nothing better to contribute to anything.
Wow.
Nothing of substance. You just go with what brings you think that's going to make people pop or laugh or some stupid shit like that. And that's what she's doing. She's first of all, she's jealous of the fact that I have the numbers in my phone that I do. And she'll tell you that.
Oh.
Can I just mention, we have a couple of new people, looks like, watching us in the hot mic tonight. Welcome aboard. Thank you for joining us. And
Matt, how are we verified in the hot mic? Is that like a verification like Twitter?
Oh, I have no idea.
You got like a little check mark next to us there.
That means we're on the list for chopping.
Listen, come at me with the, oh my God, you're better. Listen, you know what? Here, Kate, you know what? The back on his jersey says Hawkins. All right. Can you see that?
I thought he was going to fart into the microphone.
Yeah, I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. They are my best friends, all right? Deal with it. Suck it.
Oh.
Wow. Come on. What's with all this sucking and blowing and kissing today? Jeez Louise.
No, well, suck it's not really. It doesn't mean what it implies. It's just that.
Of course it does. You're pointing at somebody's crotch.
I didn't do that.
You just did. I'm watching you on the hot mic.
No, I
put his. He put his
my back.
He put his butt in the camera.
Yeah, my flat butt.
Yeah, it's all we needed. A little Kevin crack before we call it a night.
There was no crack. Was there crack? There was no crack.
No, there was no crack.
Say no to crack, everyone.
Just say no to crack. It's a terrible drug.
Crack kills. I did that at a commentary for Jello Wrestling in high school. I used that to close out the show live on West Orange TV 36. And I got a lot of complaints.
Of course you did.
That's right.
Tony, anything else before we go home?
Do we have a guest for next week?
I don't have anything set up. I am reaching out to many people, though, so you never know.
Are we reaching out to the person that I wanted to reach out to?
Name
drop him, maybe if he's listening.
Yeah, go ahead, name drop.
Hey, Mike Freeland, get in touch, buddy.
Oh, I didn't reach out to him yet. I thought you were going to do that. You just reach out to him.
Set it up next week, man.
I know
he listens.
Maybe he can do
dude,
the question.
You know my week was hell last week, so.
I know. We all had hellish weeks.
Yeah.
Kevin's at 3 in a row.
Yeah. It's easy when... It's easy when the questions don't really mean much. Listen, I play like the level of the questions to the people asking them and the people answering them. If you know bullshit, then you are bullshit. If you ask bullshit, then you are bullshit. So
I don't understand how it's part of the wrestling history, though, knowing the venues.
Yeah, and of course, it's also knowing who was on TV Guide, right? That's part of the business, too.
I mean, it's such a big deal to have wrestlers on the cover of the TV Guide. Absolutely. I'd say yes.
You'd be wrong.
Why? It was TV Guide's the most popular selling item ever. Bruce Pritchard talks about it all the time.
Yeah, so is Disney Adventure Magazine.
How many wrestlers were on Disney Adventure Magazine?
That's a good question. That's a good one.
Meet to meet, baby.
Big old meet to meet.
It's coming up, isn't it?
The one that goes meet to meet.
Woohoo!
That's when you got. See, that's what we need. We need you guys. Like, that's next week. It's meet to meet. Can you top that?
That's what it is.
No, it's can you meet that?
Yeah.
Well, we are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast every Monday night, 7 o'clock on the rant, emradio.com. If you want to listen live, if you want to watch us on the Hot Mic, check out the Hot Mic app, topmic.com. Just throw in Shining Wizards. We'll pop up.
Hotmic.io.
Oh, hotmic.io.
If you got to do it from your device. It's an app. You download it, put in the code Wizards, let them know we sent you, and join us for all the fun on Monday nights.
Io Shirai?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll be back Wednesday night with my Wednesday night crew for AEW Dynamite post show. Kate the Great, the trivia champion, will be there. Anthony,
hey,
and Danny Russo,
champion.
Tony, do you want to stop by for that? Do you want to check in for that post show or what?
What, Wednesday?
Yeah, because I mean the ratings are through the roof, from what I understand.
Well, we did make that show last week.
Bring it.
I might
bring it. Bring it.
Call in.
No, just fucking hang up on you. What are you?
That's true.
You're going to hang up on me?
Oh, you hung up on me last week, you fuckface. Yeah.
Because it was funny.
Yeah. You didn't think I forgot, did you, Tony? No, no, no. Steel trap here, buddy.
We talked to your wife when she called back.
Well, everyone wants to talk to my wife. No one wants to talk to me. Come on. Do you blame them?
We hung up on you? We hung up on you on your own show. Ooh.
Look at this. Yeah. Now, look at some real beef in here.
Don't worry.
This is a meat to meat.
This is a meat to meat battle.
It all comes full circle. Don't you worry. You two are in my crosshairs. You're good.
Shining Wizards, yada, yada. Let's go.
ShiningWizards.com is the website. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @ Wizards Podcast. If you want to buy a t-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Of course, the Patreon, Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. And just follow us. We have a good time. We're doing our Twitter contest every week. All you have to do is retweet the pinned tweet, and you're entered into the contest. I put all the names in a hat, and I pick out a winner every week. And it is legit, because Danny Russinella won this week. And that saves me a trip to the post office. So I'm good like that. Yeah, exactly, Tony. It's all random. We're pulling it, and I'm doing it real. And last week's winner, Hacksaw Jim Nuggets, I got to mail out his shit.
very good guy, by the way. He shares and retweets and likes awesome. A lot of the posts that we put out there.
He's
so,
awesome. So great guy. I reached out to him. He won last week. I told him because of all the shit with the storm, I'm a little behind. So I'll get his package out in the mail tomorrow. And, you know, we're giving away just good stuff just for retweeting, spreading the word of the Shining Wizards. So, and of course, the Discord. We throw up the link on Facebook and Twitter. Jump in, have a good time, have some chats. Tony's running the DDP yoga chat. He's crushing it there. We've been slacking. I'm not going to lie.
It's been slacking. No shit, dude. Everybody. You know, I took a couple days last week just because I had to catch up on some work because we were away. And I actually dropped out tonight because we were gone all day. And I wanted to make sure I did the show tonight. So I wanted to be ready and fresh for it. But a lot of people in there, I'm a little disappointed. I got to be honest. A lot of people saying that they're up and they're doing it and they got to get back on track. I don't see everybody getting back on track. I'm looking at you, dude.
Yeah, I got to figure shit out, man. I've been busy.
I know. Everybody's been busy. And take my bitching with a grain of salt, but I get angry. I'm going to start. When they say hit the mat, I'm going to start putting Matt's face on the mat. So I'm going to hit it. I'm going to fucking get motivated. I'm going to punch it. I'm going to be like, come on. I'm fucking get in here. Right.
I thought I was going to regret a lot of things I said. Tony, that was harsh.
Bring it on, both of you.
Come on!
Exactly. Come on! All right, we'll be back next week.
Watch Kamala matches this week.
Yeah, watch a lot of Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
And download his library. It's almost as big as Wesley Willis.
I'm going to go watch The Hurt Business.
That's right, Raw Underground.
I can't wait. The Underground's coming on in 20 minutes.
We're the Underground, Tony. This podcast is the Underground.
Push it and pull it. Okay.
Thank you all. I love you all very much. Thank you.
All right, we're done. I guess we're done.
That's a wrap. See you next week.
You got to push it into push it. Push it. Push it. Pull it. Don't forget to pull it now. Push it. Okay, I got to get him out of here. I got to get back in the old truck.